It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, a brand new broadcast week underway, the final broadcast week of, you know, this May 2021. I mean, technically there's one more broadcast day in May, that's Monday, May the 31st. Technically it's a holiday, but I work most holidays, and so there's no reason to think I won't be here. Hi, I'm Robin, and it's... Well, what a May it's been. It's finally, it looks like it's finally going to be spring here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by coal, Virginia Stan. Yeah. Who am I kidding? It's still Trump, Virginia. Because we've still got the maggot disease. But, oh well, we'll figure out a way through it. But, it's Moran Monday, and a lot of what we have to talk about this evening will encompass... Well, you know, in my father's house are many Morans. Yeesh. So many Morans. But we will, we'll get to a bunch of them. Mine as well as yours. And, if you'd like to augment your Horn Family Community Congregation live listening experience... Well, then bebop on over to headon.live and click on chat room. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you've never been here before. If you have, use the old one. That's fine, too. But if you do that, well, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Antol and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has decided... to fold space and become man cave, because it's a perfect man cave kind of day, no wind and 84 degrees there in Northern California, and he is capably assisted by longtime pinch-hit midweek chat room moderator and all-around utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. So it's a two-moderator Monday, and that's really, really cool. And I'm in there, too. The 31st ain't no holiday. Huh? Okay, now you get... Yeah, let's start the program by confusing me. That's Memorial Day weekend, and it's a Monday holiday. Because this ain't Memorial Day. I mean, pretty sure it's not. Last weekend in May, Memorial Day? Yeah, don't screw with my head. But anyway, I'll be here one way or the other, holiday or no. Okay, it's Memorial Day, it's not a holiday, it's a day of remembrance and reflection. Maybe that's where we're going with that. Anyway. Come on over to the chat room if you'd like. Yeah, it's a day of reflective observance. Thank you, Brother Bishop Steve. Mm-hmm. We use the term holiday to reflect how the federal government treats it. And the fact of the matter is, it's not just the federal government. A lot of people will use it as, hey, look, the swimming pool's open. because people died in war. Because every so-called federal holiday is an excuse to do capitalism. But we'll deal with that on the appropriate day. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. We have thanks to give out to our 24th, 23rd, and 22nd day of the month subscribers. Yeah. So that means in no particular order, thanks going out. Well, actually, there is a particular order. We'll go back to front. Thank you to Samson. And thank you to Josh. Thank you to Pam in Washington State. Thank you very kindly to Stacy. Thank you to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Thank you to Philip in Maryland. Thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of Southern California. Thank you to Colin. Thank you so very much indeed, each and every one of you, for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Uncle Smokey over on the Patreon side of things. Thank you very kindly. And so what that means is we didn't quite finish last week. We had a Friday on the Front Porch minor miracle that was fueled by some very kind challenges, and thank you again. But we find ourselves beginning today at $840. And I'm sorry for that, but it's just how things... Well, it's how things play out. And so we need to raise $840 so that we're not looking at four digits tomorrow. Or at least $300 so we're not looking at four digits tomorrow. Huh. And yes, you may hear a kitty cat. That is a kitty cat who has decided to come and visit outside and would like to be admitted to the inner sanctum. This is not going to happen for obvious reasons. Very nice kitty cat, but we take the best care we can, but we're not the local, north side of the New River Auxiliary to the Humane Society. Anyway, so we got 840, and if we can take that down, that will be wonderful. And let's get things started, because my God, we've got so many more ends. As Megan points out, please tell me our little Nutmeg's little rant on The View is included in today's list. Oh, it is. It so is, because it's especially interesting, because one of the things that... Will you please be quiet? because of one of the things that she said in the midst of her little tantrum. Because all she would have had to done is the way that Whoopi set it up. All she would have had to done is just agree. Yep, Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cucumber is a horrible embarrassment. Full stop. Game over. But it's TV, so we got to have some wrestling. And she is, after all, precious. Our little precious Nut Meg. Trying to turn the microphone away, so maybe we don't... Oh, yeah. Jesus. Anyway, God, I was out of the gate and ready to roll, and then all of this. But anyway, more ends aplenty. Robin! Joey writes, looks like COVID is spiking in Alabama, according to MSNBC, but don't worry. Governor Meemaw, good old Kay Ivey will take care of everything. Yes, the hee-haw Meemaw. That's good. And by the way, yes, you're right, Lee. Lee points out, cats don't understand quiet. I nicknamed one of my daughter's cats Kvetch. Ugh, this could be Kvetch. But no, let's go back to Joey and get this right. The hee-haw meemaw has everything under control as she announced that Alabama's public health order would expire on May the 31st, and the restrictions on senior care facilities, hospitals, and nursing homes would be lifted. The state of emergency will end on July 6th. Yeah, boy. Here comes Giraffe. Yes, I believe the Governor Meemaw should wear one of those big hats with the price tag on it, like the one Minnie Pearl used to wear, because she has no idea what the cost of human life is all about, or the price tag that will be on the state of Alabama as this pandemic continues to rage. Nor has she bothered to expand Medicaid either. So now let's everyone give a big Montgomery Monday Moran welcome to the hee-haw Miss Meemaw with a big howdy! Now, Robin, as soon as your voice changes, you'll be able to do the real high howdy. I think I did a pretty passing fair impression there. My voice isn't going to change. That's not how the whole hormone thing works. Hell, forget the Crimson Tide. Looks more like Crimson and COVID way down in the yellow hammer heart of Dixie. Crimson and COVID. No singing. We got a deep fundraising hole. Damn it. Then there was a moron, Mike Thompson, who in the local paper tries to blame, this is back up in Ohio, Stan, tries to blame President Biden for the current price rises and President Carter for past inflation issues. Hey, moron Mike, current inflation is due to supply lines damaged during Donald Trump's mismanagement of the COVID pandemic and the recent surges in demand thanks to the much-needed stimulus. Lumber prices have increased dramatically. Shot through the stratosphere. Learned that one the hard way. Due to tariffs on Canadian lumber, as well as beetle infestations and increased climate change wildfires. We can thank the GOP for ignoring climate change for those last two reasons. Increases in gas prices are due to Texas Republicans' mismanagement of that state's energy grid, which shut down many refineries in the recent Colonial Pipeline cyber attack. Oh, and by the way, legislation's been passed to stick the taxpayers with the bill for the Texas frozen pipeline mess during this past winter. Individual ratepayers will have to come up with a few bucks more every time they pay their energy bill to make up for the losses in Texas. As for Carter's culpability for inflation, all one has to do is read a history book, something a moron is not likely to be able to do very well. Upon reading, the morons will find references to predecessors like Richard Nixon's and Gerald Ford's failed efforts to control inflation. Yeah, I'm so old I can remember when Gerald Ford trotted out his win buttons. It was a red button with white letters that said win, and everybody was supposed to wear their win button, and inflation would magically go away because win stood for whip inflation now. Gerald Ford had a voice like a castrato. A moron might also find that fiscal policy during the Carter years led to low inflation during the Reagan years, for which Reagan was happy to take credit, just as Trump was happy to take credit for the Obama economic recovery. There's just not enough Mondays to keep up with all the morons, Joey says, and Joey's absolutely right. This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, Moran, the 24th day of May, 2021, with Giraffe adding up the cost of irresponsible Republican presidents. Governors, too. And so there's a $10 irresponsible Republican president challenge to get us started this evening. Personally, I find irresponsible and Republican to be an over-description, but, well, the one can stand in for the... what am I quibbling over? Thank you for the challenge, Joey and Giraffe. And that would get us down to... 820 in terms of the hole that we're in. And a note coming in from Kyle from Kentucky, Stan. Nutmeg McCain wants to make the squad the face of the Democratic Party. That's her, unwittingly and probably unknowingly, because she's so damn stupid, saying that the members of Congress who most want UBI, you know, universal basic income, health care, universal education, green infrastructure, you know, programs that help everyone and most voters want, are the face of the party. How would that be a bad thing? I'm beginning to think Republicans aren't smart or capable of thinking. Wait, adds Kyle, I thought the energy disaster was because of the new Green Deal that hasn't passed into law. Oh, you mean the Republicans lied again? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, because that's all they do. Jesus, they can't say hi, Mom, without lying. Thank you very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont getting us started, meeting the challenge, and therefore taking us down not just to 820, but to 805. And if we can, so basically with what was left over, we've got $240, well now $205 of Thursday and all of Friday, and the last week will be fully funded, and then we can work on this week, which is terribly, terribly important. Because we're up to our eyeballs in bills and things that I wasn't expecting to have to pay for. You know, like the car repairs from last week. And the car repairs from this week. And the tires that I had to pay for on a prorated basis because for some reason or another, they had cuts in the side walls of the driver's side. I got nothing. But anyway, we're down to 8:05 to go. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you so much. Now, off to the Morans. And Kyle and Megan have already referenced our little nut, Meg. And Lord God, she's earned it. Oh, sweet Jesus, she has. But there's something else that I want to go to first, if that's okay with y'all. And that is, in particular, a little piece of information that I saw during my my reading for today. And it has already generated Moranity. But I want to pat us on the back. I really, really do. And I want to start by time traveling a little bit with our dear friend Darlene in Connecticut. Darlene gets two cowbells. That's the first one. That's the second one for this Moran Monday for two things. We'll take care of the, I'll tell you what, let's take care of the, we'll take care of them in Siri. Not Siri. How can I help you? Because my Siri is set to Australian. Just click. No. Serie. So I got this note, was it yesterday? Day before? I got this note from Darlene saying, and you said this how long ago? And lo and behold, it was a headline from Newsweek that was a little shocked and breathless, or I don't know, maybe they were desperate for a headline that day. But it was a headline from Newsweek. And Darlene wrote, seriously? And how much does Jim Acosta get paid in comparison to you, who coined that term even more effectively ages ago? Because the headline was, from Newsweek, CNN's Jim Acosta dubs Donald Trump the Mussolini of Mar-a-Lago. And I gotta admit, I went, son of a gun, really? He's been the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, Mar-a-Lard-ass Mussolini, Mar-a-Sleazo Mussolini since 2016 over here. Hey, Newsweek, how about a little something for the effort? Big hitter, the Newsweek. But I put out a tweet, and it got a little bit of mileage, not much. Most of the stuff I tweet out doesn't get much mileage. Because I'm not willing to jump through the flaming barbed wire hoops to get a blue check mark. Because as far as I'm concerned, you have to give Twitter way too much data in order to get one. I mean, really? Really? You want at Jack to have your driver's license number? You don't think so. But lo and behold, there it was. So I did tweet to Newsweek to correct the record for them. And I told them that, in fact, no, Jim Acosta did not coin the term Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. That, in fact, I had. And moreover, that we could, however, say, we could still say that the term was coined by a CNN journalist. It's just that, well, she's been gone from CNN for a while. And then I got to thinking, what, yeah, about 33 and a half years, which is mind-blowing in its own right. I left CNN to attend law school at Harvard on the Mon. But, you know, I really was. Somewhere out there, there may be archived tapes of Larry King Live with my little voice in the intro. I doubt if they saved all the TBS News watches or anything like that. Or, welcome to Crossfire. No, they probably didn't. But, you know, I really was. I really, really was. Radio news anchor and everything. So, thank you, Darlene, for that. And that record is corrected. And then, second cowbell is the one that really involves a lot more time travel, in a way. Because it was Darlene who hipped us to the report from the Australian ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, early on in the pandemic, that gave us the most chilling understanding of what SARS-CoV-2 2019 could do. It was Orwellian. It was horrifying. It was dystopian. People laying dead on the streets in Wuhan. Families being welded into their homes because they wouldn't stay in their homes and not spread the disease. It was a dystopian nightmare. And that's how we knew how bad this could get, especially under the influence of, wait a minute, Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. I went ahead and told Jim Acosta in Newsweek that they were also free to use Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula, Furious Geezer, Foolious Geezer, Geezer Disgustus. But we knew. And we, along the way, because if you're listening to this program, you are listening to the world. Almost like time travel-ish, because we get to stuff before others do. And so it was when just a little blip happened over there on the other ABC, the for-profit Mouse Network ABC, and George Snuffleupagus' Sunday show, when he asked a question of a member of the Nitwit Nero administration about a report that they had known about COVID-19 back in, I think the term used in the story back then was mid to late November 2019. Well, I picked it up, and we talked about it. And we asked valid questions of each other, to which none of us had any viable answers, as to why it was that that story, which was never retracted, okay? It was never retracted by ABC. The allegation made by George Snuffleupagus was never said by ABC to have been erroneous or incorrectly reported. But it just disappeared. Because he asked the Maggot administration, the lickspittle, what about this? And, oh, I don't know nothing about that. MAGA. And then the story disappeared. And then it surfaced again. Pardon the recap. It surfaced again a couple of weeks later when we saw stories out of the Israeli press stating that, in point of fact, the Nitwit Nero maladministration had gone so far as to brief the Israeli government about the fact that there was a potentially out-of-control virus in China. And as far as the briefings in the United States were concerned, the White House was briefed, and the Pentagon was briefed. The entire Congress was left in the dark. Both House and Senate, maybe they whispered to some Republicans, it's hard to know. But the Pentagon knew, and the White House knew. So the White House knew, the Pentagon knew, and everybody else is like, buckus. And we kept asking questions about it. And there were never any answers. And we asked questions about the mysterious bullshit trip to Walter Reed that was taken via hastily assembled ground transport by Nitwit Nero instead of just jumping aboard Marine One and fucking going. And it didn't make any sense. But then we sort of back-timed it. It's a term from broadcast, you're figuring out by counting backwards how much time you... And we realized that the briefing came at about the disease being loose in China at roughly the same time that Nitwit Nero took his mystery trip to Walter Reed. And that's all we knew. So we've known that there was something hinky going on. And we did a pretty good job in this community of pushing back against the silliness of it was created in a lab, yada, yada, yada. And so now there has been, as of today, there is a news story out of The Wall Street Journal, you know, not their editorial page. That's made up of crazy people. But the Wall Street Journal actual reporting can be relatively solid. The Wall Street Journal report says that one of our international partners has told us, gee, I wonder who that might have been, has told us that at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, in, of course, China, that three researchers were hospitalized, get this, In November 2019, with symptoms that were similar to COVID-19. This goes on in conjunction with a State Department fact sheet that came out in the last miserable days of the Nitwit Nero maladministration, that in the fall of 2019, several researchers came down sick with symptoms consistent with both COVID-19 and common seasonal illness. One source speaking to the Wall Street Journal, who was familiar with the report, said, "The information that we had coming from the various sources was of exquisite quality. It was very precise. What it didn't tell you is exactly why they got sick." And I have a feeling maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it just goes down the memory hole, like all the other stuff that we at least put out there for public concern. And, you know, again, this is not Alex Jones bullshit. This isn't Pink Shrek Joe Rogan crap. This is just news that for some reason or another slipped like a greased pig right under the radar. Looking back to the times of Israel, Stephen New York sends along the first earliest reference he can find. U.S. alerted Israel, NATO, to disease outbreak in China in November, according to a TV report. Times of Israel staff report is dated 16 April 2020. According to Channel 12 News, the U.S. intelligence community became aware of the emerging disease in Wuhan in the second week of that month, November, and drew up a classified document. And, maybe this isn't that important, but it sure feels that way because we've got nearly 600,000 Americans dead who did not need to die. On the Indian subcontinent, there are almost too many to count accurately, bodies floating in the sacred Ganges that are COVID positive. All around the world, death, horrible death, that lands in large part at one man's desk. That desk is now either at Bedminster in New Jersey or Mar-a-Lardass in Florida. By the way, if you didn't see Cecily Strong's Jeanine Pirro impression this weekend, it's worth the effort to find. She's got her down pat. She said, "I just got back from Mar-a-Lago, situated in the hottest part of Florida, between two strip clubs, you know, classy strip clubs where the girls wear ball gowns." But it would be nice if there could be some more digging on this story. As the report I'm looking at says, it's about November 2019 is about the time when many experts believe SARS-CoV-2, the virus responsible for the pandemic, first began circulating in Wuhan, where the first confirmed case was a man who became sick on December 8th, 2019. But the thing with that is, by the time you notice people getting sick, it's already going around. And so now, and this is kind of the important point of the story that we're dealing with at this point, it appears that lab workers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology got sick. And this, in turn, is fueling the China horseshit all over again. There's no doubt that this disease arose in China. Jesus, I'm going to stop saying that. That's just, it's annoying and insulting and, I just don't even like to think about him speaking. I look forward so much to the day when nature takes its course and he no longer does. But, well, I mean, remember, his dad, you know, got Alzheimer's and didn't do a lot of speaking for, like, what, the last 10 years of his life? And Nitwit Nero is rapidly approaching the same time period that happened. Oh, well. But for instance, just for instance, over on CNBC, which really is not to be taken seriously because they like to think of themselves as the right-wing version. But over on CNBC, they, for reasons that I will never fully understand, when this news broke, some booker there ran right out and grabbed Scott Gottlieb, the former head of the FDA, who has all the credibility of, well, a former member of the Trump administration. And that ship sailed. But now, because of this Wall Street Journal story that says some lab workers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology got sick. Well, obviously, it originated in a lab and it got like, bullshit. Logical reasoning is not a thing that Scott Gottlieb does well. And it, I guess it never occurred to him that the workers there were not grown in the Institute of Virology labs, and that they didn't live there in some sort of matrix pod until they were every day they were given the red pill. And they, no, they got sick because they were out in the general population of Wuhan at the time that this thing was spinning around, first catching on. And they likely brought it into the lab. I wish we had our pal Paul from Parts Unknown to consult with this because, well, you know, and Paul, you're welcome to jump in if and when you catch up. But Paul has written to us on numerous occasions during the pandemic about the intensely careful protocols and procedures at work in the lab where he works to make sure that the coronavirus didn't get into his lab. But those protocols were only put in place after we knew about the disease being around. If you are innocent of it, if you are innocent of the knowledge, it makes sense that it would come from outside in the general area of Wuhan into the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But that doesn't make a sexy clickbait story now, does it? So instead, you get Scott Gottlieb blathering to some talking head at CNBC all about how Nitwit Nero is right and this really is the China virus. Sheesh. So let's just take a quick moment And check in with Scotty, because schmuck, and see what kind of fear-mongering he's up to. Ugh.
Or the, you know, how this pandemic started is becoming more and more of an issue. New story out that suggests that there were three people from that Wuhan lab who got very sick And that kind of lends some credence to the idea that this was man-made. This was created in a lab and
actually got out. No, it doesn't.
Not something that happened in nature.
Right, and this is consistent with the State Department bulletin that said that there were some illnesses in that lab in the fall. Now we know that three of the people who were sick based on this latest report were actually hospitalized. And the timing of that would put it, you know, sufficiently early that it could have...
Yeah, well, hold on. That's the thin reed that he's going to climb out on? There were three people in the lab who got really sick and were put in the hospital? If you get really... outside of a pandemic, if you get really sick, you get put in the hospital. This is not evidence, fucking Sherlock.
...have triggered this epidemic. There's now more and more reporting and more analysis that probably the first cases occurred at some point in the sort of October-November timeframe. And so the timing of these infections would put it within that realm. I think the challenge right now is that the side of the ledger that supports the thesis that this came from a zoonotic source, from an animal source, hasn't budged. And the side of the ledger that suggests this could have come out of a lab has been continuing to grow. So people a year ago who said, well, this probably came from nature, it's really unlikely it came from a lab, maybe a year ago that kind of a statement made a lot of sense.
It still makes a lot of sense. Because that's how SARS-CoV-1 got started. That's how these weird things make the leap from the wild animal world to the curious, mostly hairless primate world of humanity. But we have to understand that, well, the Wall Street Journal was not helpful in this regard. Oh, no. Because the way they hyped their headline, oh, for fuck's sake. Intelligence on sick staff at Wuhan lab fuels debate on COVID-19 origin. The only debate that's taking place is among the people who live under bell jars at Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium and voted for Donald Trump and think that Donald Trump is actually he's still the president of the United States of America. It's in the Constitution. But now this slimy assertion, instead of being dealt with intelligently, is going to be used as some sort of, you know, anti-Biden crap. Report says researchers went to hospital in November 2019, shortly before confirmed outbreak, adds to calls for probe of whether virus escaped lab. Yeah, fuck, sure, with Robin the Bat Boy. Oh, God. And then, I mean, this is truly some horrible, horrible writing. And I did say earlier that, you know, sometimes the news page of the Wall Street Journal is fairly reliable. But what's going to come out of this, if it doesn't just disappear down the memory hole, is going to be a mess. I fully expect to see a Save America PAC press release from Nitwit Nero at any time this evening. And I'm surprised I haven't seen it already today. Current and former officials familiar with the intelligence about the lab researchers expressed differing views about the strength of the supporting evidence for the assessment. One person said it was provided by an international partner and was potentially significant but still in need of further investigation and additional corroboration. Another person described the intelligence as stronger. The information that we had was of exquisite quality. I shared that with you already. But none of it says what they're trying to say it says. That somehow there is proof here that it got loose out of a lab. As Steve in New York points out, correction, animal leap is the only sense. Man-made makes zero sense. Oh, unless it was some sort of a bioweapon unleashed by those crafty Chi-Coms. My friends, the Chi-Coms, Charlie Tree, who was a dear friend of Bill Clinton, blah, 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 I'm still dead. Ugh. But you know it's there. And it's infuriating. And it obscures a significant point. As Jeremy pointed out, COVID deaths, the U.S. death toll is currently at 590,000. Now, remember how quickly we got to 500,000. And consider how it has slowed. We are presently at the slowest rate of increase of the disease since June of last year, before it really took off. No, Jeremy, no. May 31st holiday. Hey, Robin, can Rush come back on May 31st to ensure that the next day ensures June is a superior month? You know, being June and all, I just don't know where to place my hate and fear since he decided to lay down and play dead. And God, I miss him. Oh, well, no. Bless his heart, he can't help it. He's all dead. But I saw this story earlier, and I was like, oh, this is going to be the front end of the program today. Because when you consider this story in light of the people who think that, the goober cyber ninjas in Arizona found, you know, the secret bamboo Chinese ballots that were infused with ground up chicken parts or what the hell ever. You can see where this is going to go. But shame, more in Monday, shame on you to CNBC for giving a platform to a discredited old lickspittle probable crook like Scott Gottlieb. Mrs. Claypool had Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool. Mrs. Claypool had Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool. Good, now we got enough for bridge.
Because that was the more likely scenario. But we haven't found the intermediate host. We found no evidence of this virus in an animal anywhere. The closest homology we found is a pangolin outbreak that occurred in March of 2019. But we haven't found the true source of the virus. And with MERS and SARS...
You know why we didn't find the true source of the virus? Because before the virus broke out, COVID Caligula shit-canned all of the American epidemiologists who were working as observers in China to make sure that this shit didn't get out. To make sure that another SARS didn't get loose. They got canned. They were, as our friends across the pond like to say, they were given the sack. But that's not how you play it if you're Scott Gottlieb, and I'm sure he's still a loyal maggot.
At this point with those outbreaks, those epidemics, we had found the intermediate host, and it's not for lack of trying. There has been an exhaustive search for what the animal host was for this.
No, there really hasn't, because our searchers, too, were sacked. I don't know how you do that searching. But the bottom line is, whatever got loose in Wuhan did not have to get here. And we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it was the negligence, the gross negligence, the willful, wanton, and reckless conduct of Nitwit Nero that brought it here. Much, as we discussed, much like the plague of the 14th century, the bubonic plague, it ran across Asia, got into the Levant, got aboard a ship, the ship sailed back home to Venice, the rats left the ship in Venice, and the rest is history. And somewhere between a third and a half of the population of Europe, not to count Asia,
died. Okay, that's how this works.
And curiously enough, you know, the COVID-19 originally followed the same path. It came across Asia, burned in Iran, got to Italy, set Italy on fire, and then started moving north at a time when Nitwit Nero was leaving European travel wide open. And so the COVID that burned New York came not from people traveling from China. See, that's a habit. I gotta break it. But came instead from lily white, pristine Europa. And there is one little tickler in there in what Scott Gottdweeb says. I'm going to go back and see if we can catch it again. Because Steve said, did you hear that from Scott Gottlieb, March 2019? Exactly what my partner said about what his Chinese students there in Canudlia were saying.
So people a year ago who said, well, this probably came from nature, it's really unlikely it came from a lab. Maybe a year ago that kind of a statement made a lot of sense because that was the more likely scenario. But we haven't found the intermediate host. We found no evidence of this virus in an animal anywhere. The closest homology we found is a pangolin outbreak that occurred in March of 2019. But we haven't found the true source of the virus. And with MERS and SARS, at this point, with those outbreaks, those epidemics, we had found the intermediate host. And it's not for lack of trying. There has been an exhaustive search for what the animal host was for this virus, and it hasn't been found. So I think the ledger on the side of the lab continues to grow. And the question for a lot of people is going to be, when are too many coincidences too much? When does it just seem that there's too many things suggesting that this could have come out of a lab? And right now, you know, there's more and more circumstantial evidence, certainly. I don't think we're ever going to get to the bottom of this, because unless we have a whistleblower, assuming it did come out of a lab, and I'm not saying it did, but assuming it did.
And that's why he's on there to suggest that it did. Because, my goodness, that's terribly, terribly, terribly sexy, isn't it? Ooh, those inscrutable communist Chinese. I know. He just blew right by Stephen, New York. A pangolin isn't an animal? Well, yeah, it is, and they're kind of cute. They're one of those just little evolutionary amazements. And, you know, look, there's evidence out there in real nature about, I mean, guess who, you know, a pangolin looks like an armadillo or an anteater. It looks like an anteater with armor plating. Well, in this hemisphere, you can get leprosy from messing around and stop that. From coming into contact with an armadillo. And the next thing you know, you're looking at somebody and saying, keep the tip, and it doesn't have anything to do with money. Zoonotic diseases are nothing new. In fact, they're the essence of the history of disease in humanity. There probably wasn't a lot of zoonotic disease in hunter-gatherer societies because, except for maybe domesticating the wolf, we weren't hanging around with a lot of animals. It's when we become a sedentary agricultural society and we begin to domesticate animals that you come up with stuff like chicken pox, cow pox, measles, anthrax. And if it got loose from a lab, well, like I said, that's got, you know, just to use our Latin for a moment, that's got casus belli written all over it. I simply, and our pal Nidia just sent something along from an Ian Masters background briefing of April. I know Ian, I've been on his program. Finally, we speak with Jamie Metzl, a senior fellow for technology and national security at the Atlantic Council, who is among the authors of an open letter to the World Health Organization organized by a group of scientists working virtually who are concerned not enough research has been done looking into the possibility of a lab leak at the BSL Level 4 Wuhan Institute of Virology, which contains the largest collection of viruses, et cetera, et cetera. And Nidia says he's not a right-winger. No, I understand Ian Masters is not a right-winger. And maybe Jamie Metzl isn't either. And you might want to look into the Wuhan lab theory, primarily to disprove it. This just all militates, and as Scott Gottdweeb himself acknowledged, it's circumstantial evidence. Ask any lawyer, any good trial lawyer, how much she enjoys going to court on circumstantial evidence. You try not to. But there's a lot of people who would like to rattle a lot of sabers at China, and they're really dumb for wanting to do so. I mean, consider, when we talk about Wuhan, we really don't think much, we don't give that much thought to the size of Chinese cities. It's stunning. Wuhan has a prefecture level size of 8,494.41 square kilometers. And in those 8,494.41 square kilometers, 11,081,000 people live. In the greater metro Wuhan area, it's 19 million human beings. That makes everything but New York and Los Angeles and Mexico City in the Western Hemisphere. Well, okay, Rio de Janeiro. A rounding error. So you tell me, what's more likely? Zoonotic transmission, which we know really, 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 really happens, or the inscrutable Chinese trying to work up some dastardly virus to turn loose, you know, I guess on us, and then we just made it worse for the rest of the world. No, bullshit, no, that's not exactly how it happened. But they did that in retribution because the art of the doofus guy was eating their lunch by putting tariffs on their crap. It doesn't pass the smell test. And it makes a hell of a lot more sense to me that we've had the answer all along. But now, you know, ask yourself the age-old question, cui bono, again with the Latin. Who benefits? To whom the good? Okay? In a lab, you say, asks Ron in Raleigh, would you or any of the Horn family be willing to bet that the Boffins at Fort Detrick, Maryland, aren't trying to weaponize COVID-19? Oh, I'm so old I can remember when Fort Detrick was a bit of a hot spot after the anthrax packages started going around after September 11th, 2001. Yeah? Yeah? Possibly? Possibly? So, we've got that. And, oh, I had a note. I had a note from our dear friend Charlene in Rogues Island. And Charlene said, oh, wait, here's a, and thank you very kindly to our dear pal, Samson. Samson just took us down to 705. Which means that we are $405 from being done with last week, which is huge. Thank you, Samson. And then I got a note subsequently from Charlene. I'm offering a $150 challenge. If it's met this evening, I'll add another $25. Best from sunny to dry Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene. Congratulations to you and all the other roguish islanders, because you are one of eight states, I believe, that has achieved the much-vaunted 70% vaccination rate. New Jersey is another one. Maine is one of them. Guess what none of them are? Talabama, Tennistan, Georgia-stan, South Carolina-stan, North Carolina-stan, Florida-stan, Mississippi Stan, Louisiana Stan, Arkansas Stan, Oklahoma Stan, Texas Stan. Nope, none of the Confederacy, but we do have eight states, of which New Jersey, Maine, and Rhode Island are three, that have achieved the 70% mark necessary to hopefully put this goddamn virus behind us. So, thank you for the challenge. If that challenge is met, and hopefully it will be, coupled with what Samson did, then we will be very close. Let's see. Yeah, we'll be down to 380 to go, and we'll only be $80 away from finishing last week, which is huge. Especially running toward the running downhill on the end of the month. So thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very kindly. And hopefully people will respond and we'll finish the month okay. Channeling my inner Flavio, Steve in New York says the Sao Paulo metro area is far bigger than Rio's metro area, but I digress. You know, my geographical knowledge of South America is sadly wanting. It's not for lack of trying. I just haven't got okay. So Sao Paulo, New York, L.A., Mexico City, and Wuhan is not even China's biggest city. There's a reason that all the people who work on predicting this stuff say that most of these diseases will originate, and it's not a racist thing. It's not any kind of xenophobia or bigotry. It's where the populations are concentrated. As far back as the father of Pompey Magnus, the first Pompey, generals of that era, 2,100 years ago, any leader of any army knows that you've got to have decent sanitation, or the next thing you know, you haven't been beaten by your enemy, you've been beaten by cholera or dysentery. It's why in Joseph Heller's darkly hilarious novel Catch 22, it's why there's that passage where Milo Minderbinder and Yossarian are talking. And no, well I can't remember. No, it's not Milo. But anyway, it has something to do with putting soap flakes in the food of the folks there on Pianosa. It'll cripple your forces. we watch Asia relative to these disease outbreaks just the same way that we watch places where other known deadly viruses burst forth, because the combination of events makes it logical to watch those places. And now we look at things like the South African variant, the British variant, the Indian double variant. And at least one drug company is working on a booster shot for the people who had the common good sense that God gave a goose to get their vaccines. Those who are able, you know, physically able. So that's the story. Scott Gottlieb there was no reason, and I mean, this is why I hate the for-profit media. There was no reason to bring him on. There was no reason to. You report the story, and then you point out that there we are. So, I don't know. I'd say we were very good at this. Oh, and because he is the official, not unofficial, not ad hoc historian of the Horn, Brother Deacon Asa says, here's the earliest reference I can find to Mar-a-Lago Mussolini I can find on Twitter, dated July 22nd, 2016. Yep, that's me. You win, you bastard. Ha! Take that, Jim Acosta. Oh, well. But that's not on Jim Acosta. He just called him that on his Sunday show or whatever it was. It's on Newsmax, or not Newsmax, Newsweek. It's on Newsweek for thinking he was the first. Or maybe for making it a big deal because it... I knew I should have trotted these names out when I had an opportunity with Chris Hayes. Damn it! Chris probably would have gone all to pieces if he'd if I'd said COVID Caligula or Nitwit Nero or Mar-a-Lago Mussolini on his air. Yeah, well, let's run over to the phones and check in with Thomas. Haven't heard from Thomas in forever. How are you, Thomas?
Hey, Robin. I swear that they're trying to make me have a nervous breakdown.
Don't have one of those. You don't want one of those. If someone offers you one, say, no thanks, I've got one already.
I will say, though, I did have my second shot. I had the Moderna, the Dolly Parton one.
Yes.
So I had a little bit of country. And it made my elbow or my shoulder hurt the second time around more than I thought, and exhausted. But that was it. I was expecting a lot more drama from the second time around, but it wasn't what my anxiety-ridden self made it out to be.
Good.
So I don't know what these people are afraid of except their own shadows.
So, let me ask you, so when did you have the second shot?
On Saturday.
Okay,
on Saturday.
So you are, what, 3 weeks out from total immunity?
Yeah. I got the Trump immunity.
Shut up. I love you.
Shut up. You know I had to. One more good woman telling me to shut up is an okay thing in my life. It's an okay. I had that from two girlfriends, and I had that from you. My life is complete. And my mother.
Well, I was going to say it happens in threes, but that's four.
And my mother wants to be on the air. She wanted to know if I was talking about you again. Yes, I am. You tell me to shut up all the time.
Well, I don't. Hi, Thomas's mama.
Robin says hi, Jesus. I missed.
No, I didn't say hi, Jesus. I said hi, Thomas's mama.
Yeah, I hate doing that. But, yeah, so I need to talk to you off-air about the stream because it's not working for me right now and it's making me cry.
I just had a note from Trey in Kentucky, Stan, who said the same thing. What are you on White Rose or
yeah, on White Rose. Because that's the stream we use.
Okay, well, there were server problems with White Rose over the weekend. I thought Ben had addressed at least. Well, I wasn't able to upload.
Oh, okay.
But I finally yesterday got Friday's program uploaded to White Rose. If it's not running on, I'm sending. That's all I can tell you is I'm sending.
Yeah, and the good news that I do have about FYI Nation is our mutual friend Tara Devlin has apparently been talking to Mike Malloy, and Mike Malloy might come over onto FYI Nation.
Well, that would be fun.
So I'm not sure if it's going to be a live show or not, because right now we have Rick Smith live at 9 o'clock. But I have Rick playing at two other times, so I might put Bob live. Or Bob live. I'm all over the place. See, nervous breakdown, here we come. I might put Mike live just so we have a little bit more new stuff, because you know I like the live stuff. Even though it causes more problems for me when it doesn't work. So hopefully.
Well, you know how I feel about working live. I don't like to not work live.
Oh, I love to work live. I adore working live. I just hate all the headaches that come with it. Like, this is why people don't realize how wonderful you and Tara are. When I was her producer, it was so hard because you had to deal with all the background, and all I wanted to do was listen to her go on. You know?
Yeah.
And about solid stuff. And you can't do that when you're trying to man a live show. And it was a lot more pressure than I ever realized going into it. But it was fun as hell because you two are both gems, and it's really, really wonderful to listen to, and I'm glad I have both of you on the air, on our air, and hopefully once I can figure this out, I'm just glad it's not me. It's one thing that I can say that's not me. So thank you for reassuring me a little bit, and thank you again for being so wonderful on Facebook the past couple of weeks.
Oh, gosh. Obvious you were miserable, and I just can't stand to see that.
You know, it's been, it's personal stuff has just been really rocky.
Oh, believe you me, I'm up to my eyeballs in personal stuff. I mean, so I get it.
So I really, for those who don't know, you are wonderful to have on as a Facebook friend, because you really do respond, and you're really responsive, and you're not one of these high and mighty people who, and you never have been, where you'll get a response, and even if it's something trivial, you'll still get a response, and I love that about you. I just wanted you to know that. A little bit of a gut response. I've been trying to get on the air for about a week now to tell you that. I just haven't had the motivation. I finally had some motivation tonight.
Well, that's really sweet, Thomas. I appreciate it.
So, and you know, you're wonderful. You've always been a wonderful friend and a wonderful ally to the FYI Nation, so I really appreciate it with everything going on in your life. I know how hectic it is.
Last week was the week from hell. It just was. I mean, you know, the unlooked and you know, the unlooked for expenditures come along, and you're like, fuck, not right now, please, no. Yeah, but there it is, and it just.
You know, and it's funny, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get myself, I'm working now, and I'm lucky to have a job. I'm getting above the minimum wage, but the minimum wage in Connecticut, which is $12 an hour, the national minimum wage. But I'm not making ends meet. I was making more on unemployment than I was working. I'm making $200 a month less, and I'm sorry. Do you blame people for saying, you know what, I'm going to stick it out on unemployment a little longer?
Well, especially not in a pandemic.
Thank you.
You know,
exactly.
you're going to if you work with the public and you know that you're absolutely not appreciated. I mean, I try to do a lot of shopping at Kroger's because they're a union shop, but frankly, union and this is no reflection on the union. But Kroger's is treating their union workers like crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
It's the it's always the corporate that does it that way. Like I shop at a family owned supermarket shop right here. They're big, but they're family ran, and that's why I do it. And I prefer that because they have a lot more staff than they do those automated shopping machines that you got to go and do yourself. Now, I'll use them every once in a while. I'm not one of these people who says, oh, no, I'm never using them. I just can't. I'm lazy, so I like to get through the line every once in a while, and if that'll do it, I'll use them. But that being said, the fact that I can typically get through to a person at this store quicker than I can use the automated machine, I'll go to that store for all time, even when it's the busiest, because of that. Because they hire young kids, and they work, and they're motivated. And they have long-term people there, too, which I really like. Because at least they're getting them to work and giving them an opportunity for the resume. So, but I know where you're going with the vaccine and everything else with these people. And
I'm not proud of this. It's just where I live and it's unavoidable. I had to be in Wally World yesterday because I had to pick up a prescription for, no, it was Saturday. I had to pick up a prescription for my daughter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the intercom was, attention, Wally World shoppers, have you had your COVID-19 vaccine? Well, they're free. Come on by. We can just poke you and you know, we'll give you the jab and then off you, and you can go and buy some more Chinese crap made in slave labor conditions here in your local Wally World. God bless America.
Oh, Jesus.
But I'm glad I don't shop there. But now that you know it's the lottery thing is catching on. Ohio's got $1 million vaccine lottery, and New York was not about to be taken down by Ohio. So now you get a free scratch off ticket when you get your shot.
Oh.
And somewhere out there, there's a scratch off ticket with like $5 million on it.
See, what I don't understand is, I'm the greediest motherfucker you can find. I really am. I have two girlfriends, for Christ's sake.
That ain't greedy. That's a glutton for punishment.
I'm greedy. Two girlfriends and an ex-wife. So, yes, you're right.
Oh, honey, you hate yourself.
So my therapist tells me. I don't understand these people who can't just do it because of their health. And if it's not their health, it's the fact that they're going to be around for their kids.
Because they're children. They're children. They are arrested development they're rotten little seventh graders is what they are.
Yeah. I think you're right. Which pisses me off even more. Because I'm going to let you go in a minute, but it shouldn't be like this. You should do it because, you know, you want to keep, like, the reason I did it, I didn't want to do it. The idea of going to the hospital gives me anxiety bigger than anything. But I went because my parents have gotten vaccinated. My girlfriend's mom had. They're getting vaccinated because of health issues. And I have my own health issues. So I felt that it was a necessary evil to do. It's like voting for Hillary Clinton. You know you're going to do it. So
oh, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight you. And I fight like a girl now, so it's not pleasant. Hillary was not a necessary evil. Hillary was fucking necessary. We wouldn't have 590,000 dead Americans right now, and the economy wouldn't be in a tailspin, and a sheet of plywood wouldn't be $75 goddamn dollars if people. Thomas.
I'll fist bump you on that. I was being a little turd. Don't worry. I had to give myself a magical cowbell for that one.
Oh no, because that's a gnur. that's a ring in reverse, gnur.
Yeah, gnur. I like that. I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna steal that. And you did come up with all those cool names, just like Brad Friedman warned us all about Trump, along with you and Mike Malloy did, and Tara Devlin did, before the magical mainstream.
Yeah, all you had to do, and all you had to do in 2016 was look up and say, "Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How stupid are the American people?" And I mean, I saw it because early on I saw the references to Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton as Hitler-y.
Yeah.
And I knew,
and I knew
that a 25-year campaign to slime her had been a monumental success when people on our side were using it and grunting around about Clinton dynasty, we can't have a Clinton dynasty.
Yeah, yeah.
When the literal poster boy for dynasty was running on the Republican side in the form of Jeb Bush, the third Bush. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to three of them, you're at dynasty stage. And now we got this jackass finally out of the White House, and you know, traitor tots running around there thinking, "I'm gonna be president someday. I'm dumb as a post like daddy. My daddy was stupid. My daddy was a president. It's like something out of Idiocracy. My ex-wife's tarted, and she's an airline pilot."
This is why I adore you. You're so much funnier than I am. I just have the looks.
Oh, I'm working on them. Have you seen the photos lately?
Your photos are gorgeous, Robin. Damn it, I did it again. I'm gonna have smack me for that, because he gets on me when I do that.
No. It's too easy. Now. It's still on the intro to the program, for God's sakes. It's still how you call Skype. I mean...
Yeah, I know. I know, but I...
Transition shit's fucking difficult.
Yeah, I know, and I'm not even doing it. Jesus. But thank you again for everything, and you know, I really do appreciate everything you do offline for me, as well as, because I don't think your audience and everybody realizes how generous a person you are, and I really do appreciate it 1,000 times over.
Well, that's really sweet, Thomas. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No worries, Robin. My pleasure, as always.
And, you know, just... illegitimi non corporundum, you know? Don't let the bastards get you down.
No. I I'm going to be with the termites and my ex-wife. We're going to be fighting over the last bit of cheese. So...
at the end of the world. Yeah.
Yes. Me and my ex-wife.
Mine!
Are gonna be fighting over the-
mine! All mine!
So don't you worry, Robin.
Okay.
I couldn't do anything stupid, although this month, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. And I just feel I had to, what I love to do when I am left alone to do it, I love mm-hmm. to quietly sit and prepare the program. And get my, you know, I want to use this clip, I don't want to use that clip. And what I hate is when I have to come, you know, I try to do my show prep on the fly, and I'm looking at stuff in between appointments, and, you know, okay, this but not that. And then, you know, run in here and pull the program together that way. I like to just sit and quietly prepare the program in the studio. And last week, I had to be somewhere every damn day. And some of it's a self-inflicted wound. I'm really, really ashamed of myself for letting my A1C get out of hand. And so I'm working my ass off, trying to get my weight down, get my A1C down, get my my triglycerides down. And I like it, but you can't couch potato your way out of that.
Don't I know it? I gained 20 pounds during the pandemic. I'm sorry, 30 pounds during the pandemic. I found out at my cardiologist. I nearly fell over.
So I spent an hour today. I burned 1,000 calories. I was just wringing wet. then it felt good. It actually makes you feel better. I mean, if you can get out and get physical exercise, it will make you feel better. It's weird. Yeah, you get yourself all worn out, and then somehow or another, getting yourself all worn out gives you more energy.
The biggest problem I have right now, and I'm hoping I got the approval. I'm waiting for one more doctor to approve it and to find out, but I might be able to get Adderall. And I know people have their issues with pharmaceuticals, but
No. If you need it, it's great. You just happen to be a self-absorbed malignant narcissist who snorts 30-foot rails of it because it's the only way you can feel like a human being, and you're president of the United States, then it's not so good.
Thank you.
Unprescribed part of prescription medications that are troublesome.
Yes.
You know, if you are America's truth detector, my friends, and you're sending your maid out with a cigar box full of money so she can bring you back, $1,000 worth of street dope, that's a problem. Because even though Rush was crushing up real live pharmaceutical OxyContins for the refreshing burst of flavor, they were still street drugs because he was buying them illegally.
Yep. And he didn't get a damn thing for that. Except the Medal of Freedom.
Ugh. Yeah, but he's still dead.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's still getting the reverse pineapple for all eternity.
That, you know what? I'm okay with that. Jesus.
I mean, it's Sisyphus and the pineapple, you know?
Amen. If anybody deserves that. But
Thomas, did you know his replacement, his first day on the air, his first big day on the air was today?
No, I didn't. Who was it? Who'd they pick?
Dan Bon Jovi, is that his name?
Oh, that asshole?
Yeah. Yeah, he's now the new America's Truth Detector.
Oh my God.
And he celebrated his first day on air by welcoming COVID Caligula.
Oh, of course he did.
I think COVID Caligula is still upset that he didn't get the job.
Yeah, you know he is.
I would have been great.
Who wouldn't want to listen to me
for 3 hours a day?
I don't know how he did. I can't stand, like, there are a lot of conservatives that I can tolerate to listen to, but I can't tolerate him for like 3 hours.
Name one.
Guilty pleasure is Mark Levin. I have to be honest because I need help.
Oh, bitch, I didn't know you were a masochist.
I love listening to the show because I love waiting for that point where that I can just see the eye ready to bulge out of his
forehead. I can't take the voice made. I can't take the voice made for print.
It's beautiful for me, and I just love it. Because he sounds constipated, and it's like when you watch the Jerry Springer show, you feel a little bit better about yourself because you're not.
See, you and I are just two totally different people because I tune any of those little turds in, and within 15 seconds, I'm screaming in the car, "You lying sack of shit!"
No, I'm laughing. I'm enjoying it.
That's another thing for you to talk to your therapist about.
Again, I'm glutton for punishment. You pointed it out.
Remember, kinky is tickling your partner with a feather. Perverted is using the whole chicken. You're at the whole chicken stage, Thomas.
Yeah, I am.
Help.
That's why I have you, Robin. That's why I have you.
I mean, the reruns are there all the time. Next time you reach it, like you said, you know, I respond. Reach out, you know, Robin, I'm thinking about listening to Mark Levin. No, Mark, no. Just go to Podbean and listen to Friday on the Front Porch. It's Monday. There'll be a new program soon. You don't have to do this to you. It's okay to love you and not listen to Mark Levin. F. Lee Levin, motherfucker.
I knew this would set you off, and I'm sorry.
It's a horrible thing to do. And there you are talking about how nice I am.
You are. You're wonderful.
Yeah, you're showing me the error of my ways.
I would never call up Mark Levin and tell him he's a wonderful person. You know, I would never do that. You know, he's a fatty fathead. That's what he is.
Well, I'm getting cowbells out of our conversation, so that's a thing. Jeremy just said, you're on tonight, Robin. I'm dying with the voices. Yet another cowbell for,
it would have been great. Who wouldn't want to listen to me for 3 hours a day?
My fucking God, LOL, says Jeremy. I'll take them where I get them.
And you're getting the cowbells. I'm getting the yurts. Lovely.
Gunners.
I made up a word. Whatever. But no, I just, you know, I'm one of those weirdos. I can't help it. I can watch 700 Club and not throw the TV away. I'm weird. I can't. I don't know.
Oh, you got a problem.
I can't help it, Mom. Robin.
That's three.
I just
do that again. I'm going to appear in person right next to you.
Then you really smack me.
I get, different strokes for different folks, but I mean, Pat, 700. It's like, you know, I go to Right Wing Watch and I know that there's somebody who sits there and pulls out these clips of this absolute lunatic madness. And, you know, I was talking at the beginning of the program, you know, with the thing with Jim Acosta and Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. And I used to do that thing where you would have to, you know, and during an 8-hour shift, there's a press conference here, there's a speech there, and we'd have two different 15-inch reel-to-reels going, taking the audio off air, and I'd say stop, start the other one, and then we'd chop the tape, and then I'd, you know, create a 10 to 20 second actuality, whatever. And even with normal people, that shit'll fuck with you after a while.
Well,
to pull clips of Pat Robertson or any of these little low rent Christo fascist Nazi wannabes, like the Rick Wiley Coyote or whatever the fuck. To do that every day of your life would make you crazier than a shithouse rat.
Well, you know, you do realize that when I was doing,
I wouldn't do that job. I wouldn't do that job without a 1.75 liter bottle of fucking cheap gin tequila with a swirly straw sitting next to me. No,
I was DVRing the 700 Club when I was doing some site at the beginning of the.
You're not okay. This explains so much.
That's why we had a niche audience. Because of me doing
maybe
that.
A niche audience. I don't know. That which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Well, something like that.
Well, you're laughing, and that's a good thing.
Yes. And I always I never met love with, well, not nearly as hard with Mark Levin. And I'm laughing at him, not with him. And I love laughing.
Well, I just want to be your sponsor for getting over this shit. if you feel like you're going to listen to F. Lee Levin or any of these other the members of the Pick Our Teeth with Our Fucking Toenail Clippings Club, you know, message me. I'm here. All the time. I'll talk you down. You don't have to do this to yourself. You don't have to hurt anymore, Thomas.
Well, I appreciate it, especially since I don't know if you know of her. Before I go, have you ever heard? I think she's an African American lady on Sirius XM. She's called Sunny. She's been to CPAC a couple of times, and.
We're not talking about Sunny Hostin from over at The View, are we?
No, it's a different. She's conservative. She's very conservative. And she Addie calls her the angry lady. Because she won't let me listen to, like, when I'm in the car with her and we're going someplace, and she tells me I can't put the angry lady on her. So, I do have a little bit of help. Not much. A little bit.
Let me get old. Why?
But this is almost nearly as good as therapy. Thank you for the support.
you're more than welcome. You know, I it's like the song says, I wait all night for calls like these.
Well, I'm glad I can be in touch, and I'll try and keep in touch a little more, and hopefully we'll get the technical work deals, because we've had technical issues.
Well, I messaged Ben and said that the White Rose stream was down, and I don't know why.
Okay. So hopefully that'll be back up. I haven't, just so everybody knows, during your show, if you listen to it on the FYI stream, you could listen to Alexa if you have an Alexa or Google, and listen to FYI Nation over that way. We have both the apps. If you say play FYI Alexa or Google Play FYINation.com, we'll actually do that for you. So people can listen to the show. And the cool thing about the program that I have set up is your show, as well as Rick's and hopefully Mike's, if we go live with him, has a thing in how my clock works. I can set several times for it to come back on. So, like, if I'm not watching it or not listening for whatever reason, because of life, I have
because the automated life.
Because life. Because I'm listening to Mark Levin. Let's just be honest. Because I hate myself.
It's okay. We're gonna get you through this, Thomas.
I can't call you every night, though, Robin. I can't do that. I'm not like your co-host. You know? That can't happen. Your donations would go to nothing. I wouldn't do that to you.
Well, I mean... We do have a challenge on the table of $150, and if it's met, it'll help out huge, and we'll be almost done with last week's fundraising.
Here's this. If you all don't get rid of the balance that Robin has, I will call every night. We'll just make it a regular thing until the balance is clear. I will be like
and we'll
that
sing.
Predator.
We'll sing. Yes. We'll do show tunes.
You know what? That is beautiful.
One singular sensation.
You have a better voice than I do.
Oh, I got a horrible voice. What are you talking about?
You got a better voice than I do. I sound like Julia Child. So what the fuck are you getting?
I'd pay money to see Julia Child sing show tunes if she wasn't so busy being dead.
That'd be one hell of a show. Jesus.
Well, he tried it, yeah.
Walking on water. But I'm going to let you go. And
okay.
That's my threat. If y'all don't get rid of that balance that Robin has, I'm gonna call every day. Be like a little stalker.
A little stalker. Just a little. About this tall.
Just a little.
Because it's
a
radio.
Little tiny stalker.
You know, you're.
I adore
wait, 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 wait. No, before you go, you just reminded me of a joke.
Sure.
Guy walks into a bar, and he has this black case with him, and he opens it up, and he reaches inside, and he takes out this little tiny man, and he sets him down, and the little tiny man runs all the way down the bar and knocks over everybody's drinks, and then he comes back and sits on the edge of the bar, and the bartender says, "What the hell is this?" And the guy says, "Well, you know these stories, you know how they all begin. I found this old lamp, and I rubbed it. Yeah? And a genie came out. Yeah? Yeah, he told me I could only have one wish. He didn't do three anymore. He said, yeah? I said, well, you know, I thought about everything. Told him I wanted a 12-inch prick.
Well, now you got a 12-inch prick. Who would ever thought you'd get that when you transition?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe those tired old chestnuts are funny now. I don't say chestnuts.
Oh, before I let you go, for those who love Nicole Sandler.
Yes.
And
I love Nicole Sandler.
And don't want to miss your show.
Yes.
She is, as long as I can get this show on in time for 8 o'clock, and I try my best, she's on right after your show every night.
Oh, wonderful.
On FY Nation. So her show, Rick Smith or Mike Malloy at 9, and then at 11, Brad Decade. I have to update the schedule on TuneIn and everything, and you know how nasty that is.
I'd rather, no. There are things I don't talk about anymore that I'd rather, no.
But unlike a conversation with Mark Levin, I have good radio on FYI Nation. So
yeah, I don't want to hear about you running pirate Mark Levin. You do that, we're done, Thomas.
I would never do that.
You take care of yourself, okay? I want you to be happy.
Yes, my dear. Thank you. And I adore you, and likewise. You look great in those pictures.
Thank you. Thank you. That's really sweet.
My pleasure.
All right. Now. Take care. See you, Thomas. Bye now.
Bye now.
It's our buddy Thomas from FYINation.com. No, sorry about the White Rose stream. I don't know what's going on. I've messaged Ben. Thought we had the gremlins taken care of this weekend, but hope for the best, you know. But we do have a $150 challenge on the table, and it would be really, really helpful if that was met, because it's so nice when people are willing to put those things forward and match the money that comes in. Your $150 gets matched, and then Charlene throws in an extra $25. So that would be $325. And that would get us down to, like I said, with the cipher, you know, it gets us down to $380, which would be $80 everything but $80 a Friday, which is freaking awesome. Thank you. And by the way, I owe a written response to our pal Rico in DeBerg. I mentioned last week was the week from hell. I should be more. Everybody has weeks from hell, and Rico had one. I hope you're listening, Rico. Subject line was Macho Men and Woman and Sad News. So I'm listening to Friday on the Front Porch, and if I didn't know any better, I would have thought I was listening to Tim Taylor's Tool Time. Me, I can barely change a light bulb without help, but I'm impressed with the testosterone and even the estrogen that was flying throughout. Drill, baby, drill, indeed. And then Rico says this, and this touched me. I'm so sorry I couldn't jump in to help with the fundraising this week. Oh, don't apologize, Rico. Please, please, please. Don't apologize. You do a ton. But I wound up having to spend a bunch of money this week tending to my 8-year-old baby girl, Ariella, who unfortunately was found to have extensive lung scarring and nodules that kept her from breathing properly, and I made the decision to put her down. Ariella Rico's kitty cat. One of the hardest things I ever had to do as a cat owner, and I am heartbroken. So hopefully I'll be back to helping out the show next week, because you and your show and the community means so much to me. Rico, signed Rico in the grieving burg. And Rico, there's a lot of cat lovers in this program. And we know something of how much pain you felt. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about all that. And I hope, I hope your grief can be assuaged. And thank you for everything you do, Rico. It's just, don't worry about it, Jude. It's just a really bad old joke. Jude says, oops, just me. Hugs, sister dear. Blame that on Thomas for making me think of it. But on the other hand, Bill in Allentown says, cowbell! And as to watching the 700 Club, Lee in New York says, you turn the sound off. When you glance at Pat Robertson, you can think, well, not that old. And you can think, well, I never invested in blood diamonds. And you can think, well, I never hustled Sea of Galilee mud mask. A lot of things you can think when you're not Pat Robertson. And by the way, going back to the whole COVID-19 China story, Stephen New York said, the real issue for me is this. So fucking what if it came from a lab? Trump still fucked up the entire thing and is drenched in the blood of 900,000 Americans. Yeah. And other parts of the world, too, because it left here and it became the America virus. Because we sent it abroad. But what worries me is the maggots don't argue in good faith. The maggots argue because they want something, and you have to remember that since they are followers of his doughy orangeness, they're all wrapped up in some sort of bullshit machismo. And so, they want to prove that they want to claim that China created it in a lab and it was going to be a bioweapon, and the bioweapon, maybe it accidentally got loose, or maybe they intentionally turned it loose, and the next thing you know, there are mushrooms growing in the clouds, and there goes the neighborhood. Oh, dear. Flavio, that reminds me. In the joke I heard, a man goes to a bar, and on the counter he sees a tiny man playing a tiny grand piano, Mozart classics, Bach, Beethoven, etc. It's a different tiny man. Yeah. He asked the bartender how he came about the bartender says he rubbed a lamp and a genie came out and granted the bartender a wish, but the genie was deaf. And the guy says, and the bartender says, yes, stone deaf. You think I asked for a 12-inch pianist? Mm-hmm. And then there's the guy sitting at the bar. Jesus, how do we get to these places? Maybe we need them. The guy walks into the bar, with the case, opens the case, sets out a tiny piano and a tiny music stand, reaches in, pulls out a tiny mouse in a tiny tuxedo. Mouse sits down at the tiny piano, reaches in again, takes out a little canary. Sets the canary, and the canary's dressed as a grand opera diva, and the tiny mouse starts playing the tiny piano, and the little canary in the opera diva, with the sequins and everything, starts singing a Puccini aria. And the bartender looks at the guy and says, that's amazing. The guy goes, yeah. And the bartender says, listen, I'll give you $100 for that mouse and that canary. The guy goes, deal. Bartender runs, gets $100. Gives the guy $100. The guy hands him the box. Meanwhile, a guy sitting next to him on the bar, just blown away, the beautiful piano playing and the aria. And he goes, are you nuts? You got a mouse that plays the piano and a canary that sings a grand opera? And the guy leans over in a big stage whisper and says, I screwed him over big time. That canary can't sing a lick. The mouse is a ventriloquist. He's doing it all. Oh, I love that joke. Because it works on so many different levels. And telling jokes on the radio is not the same thing. No, it's just not. And thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just jumped in on Charlene's greetings from Rogues Island challenge. Thank you very kindly, and thanks to our pal, Texas T. We are now 120 to go on that challenge. That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Texas T, and thank you so much, Ralphs, that's wonderful. Thank you so very much, and hopefully you'll have $120 worth of company soon. Yeah, get with it. It's a mixture, it says Jeremy in Vermont, it's a mix of his orange doughy self and poor little white blue eyes, blonde haired white Jesus. Yeah, I know. And then, you know, the mushroom clouds and Jesus comes down on his holy rolls and he's pissed and he brings an AR-15 and so tiresome. Hey, let's run over and check in with Reggie. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Yeah.
Reggie.
Yes. Hey, Robert, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
How you doing? The same, man. Did you hear what this bitch, Marjorie Taylor Greene, said about masks?
Yeah, I did. And let me just say real quick, I'm really trying to cut out the use of the B word.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can criticize an idiot like Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cucumber. Yeah. See what I just did? All day long.
Yeah.
And we don't have to gender the slurs.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you already know about the story, but
yeah, I do, and I've got the audio too. So I mean, this is a good way of getting into it.
Yeah. Well, can somebody please do something, anything with her? Because the more she opens her mouth, all hell breaks loose. You know what I'm saying, Robin?
Nobody's going to do anything about her because the Republicans aren't going to do anything about her. I mean, it's kind of an endless loop. How many times on this program have we said IOKIYAR? It's okay if you're a Republican.
Yeah. And then cahoots with her, and the Democrats
But the thing is, Reggie, you know, for people who are regular listeners to this program, Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cucumber was only parroting something that she had heard another right wing cue ball woman, mean girl, say previously. She's not just a terrible, shitty, pathetic, ignorant, stupid example of a human being.
Right.
She can't even come up with her ignorant, terrible, shitty, pathetic example of a human being material. I ran on this program last week.
Yeah.
The audio of an idiot by the name of Deanna Lorraine making the same argument. That having to wear a mask is just like being put in a railroad car and sent to Auschwitz.
Right. Who is Deanna Lorraine?
She's another cue ball. She's another follower of QAnon.
Right.
And she shows up as a guest or as a host in her own right on all over the interweb tubes.
Right.
And she's reasonably attractive, and so they put her. These right wing hosts put her on the program because it puts eyeballs on screens. Because remember, we're talking about Republicans who, at the risk of being really gross, jizzed their shorts over the half term, half wit governor from Alaska, Stan. Okay,
right? You mean like, yeah?
Yeah, Caribou Barbie. Mussolini,
yeah.
Godzilla from Wasilla,
right?
And she's grown a little long in the tooth, so there's a market,
right? Right.
But I played the clip from Deanna Lorraine saying that, and then the very next, and let's just take a moment to point out how obnoxious, how hateful, it is to suggest that anything is the equivalent of being put in boxcars and sent to death camps to the tune of 6 million people.
Yeah.
Holocaust is the Holocaust is the Holocaust is the Holocaust. Nothing else is the Holocaust. Nothing is like the Holocaust.
Right.
Every genocide. Well, it's like what Tolstoy says at the beginning of Anna Karenina. All happy families are happy in the same way. Unhappy families are all unhappy differently. And so to that extent, all genocides are different. Nothing is ever going to be the Holocaust. The Holocaust is the Holocaust. Nothing is ever going to be the deliberate slaughter of millions of indigenous people on this continent in the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and fucking 20th, and maybe 21st centuries. Right. Nothing is ever going to be the same as the Turkish genocide of the Armenians. Nothing right. is ever going to be the same as the Rwandan genocide. All right. genocides are different, but they are True. But they are wicked. But you'll notice that nobody ever compares, say, okay, we're talking about some serious stupid here. Nobody ever right. says that having to wear a mask is the same as the Rwandan genocide.
True. Or African-American genocide, Bob. Right. Black genocide.
Right, exactly.
Or Asian genocide.
Yeah, wait a minute. We're talking about Republicans. I don't want to get myself caught out because probably, no, there's no probably. I'm rock solid, lead pipe cinch certain that some mouth walking, knuckle breathing, toenail clipping, tooth picking freak on the Republican side has compared having to wear a mask with chattel fucking slavery. Sorry, I'm throwing the F-bombs around, Reggie. I hope your mom is not listening.
Right. No, she's not.
But you get my point. And
yeah, I do.
I don't know how you keep these freaks from making these comparisons. I mean, the only reason you make one of these comparisons, Reggie.
Yeah.
Is. If you have to be fundamentally, spiritually, morally, ethically dead, bankrupt, devoid of any of it before you even open your mouth and grunt out those phones and phonemes.
Right. And stupid. Don't forget ignorant, idiotic, and moronically stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, don't forget about those words. But I guess you have to check them in order to make sure that they don't say these things anymore. And the Democratic, and our Democratic side, at least is trying this, well, goddamn it, to make sure that that doesn't happen ever again. Although, I wouldn't hold my breath or my tongue. Would you, Robin? I wouldn't better counter them. Would you, Robin?
Well, you have to speak out when this crap goes down. You
right.
have to.
Right. Because nobody else is going to or wants to. They're afraid or scared of losing their livelihood along with their, you know, job and their steady flowing paychecks. Whether it's in the political circle or the lamestream, mainstream, $4 million or billion dollar profit media circles or whatever kind of circles you want to refer to, Robin. Am I right on saying that?
I think you are.
I mean, they're afraid to lose their livelihood along with their check, you know, like a steady flowing paycheck.
But let's take that and work with it a moment, because it is a steady paycheck. You can make good money, and you can raise a shit ton of political donations by saying that kind of stuff, because it ain't just, you know, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber didn't just say that because it came to mind. She recognized that there was a good big dollar in saying it, and she's gotten donation. Every awful, horrible, no good, rotten, really bad thing she says results in more money coming to her for saying it. And that tells us in turn about just how awful a significant portion of the United States population is, doesn't it?
Yes, it's all about the money, right, Robin? Follow the money, right? Correct?
Not follow it. Make it. Make it.
Right. Right.
I mean, pushing out right wing hate is an industry.
They do it over the radio and TV each and every single day, Robin. You know that, right?
I know they do. That's, you know, Thomas talking about F. Lee Levin there. My God, the guy is nothing but a merchant of hate. And everything is those people's fault, whether those people are Asians, African Americans, Indigenous Americans, women, the LGBTQ LGBTQIA plus community, immigrants. It's all America would be happy and prosperous if we would just leave the precious right-wing white people alone.
Right.
But the thing is, nobody's doing anything to the precious right-wing white people. They're not under assault. They're not under attack. It's manufactured for purposes of money-making.
Right.
And, you know, if I talk about hate going down against Asian Americans, there's damned well data. You know, there's a report out now of an Asian American guy being thrown on the tracks in the subway of New York. There's the Jewish guy who was beaten in Times Square. You know, there are no stories of people being beaten up for being white.
Right.
I mean, white people probably get ripped off, mugged, beaten, killed, whatever, at some kind of a rate, but it's not because they're white.
Right.
And that's the difference between crime and hate crime.
Right. That's why we need laws for both.
Oh, I know.
You know, that's why we need laws for both. And who started hate radio, Robin? I think we both know who, don't we, Robin?
The former dead guy, the former guy who's dead, he capitalized on it, but he did not invent it.
Well, who did exactly?
It's a deep history. I mean, you got to go back to people like Father Coughlin in the 1930s.
Right.
You know, it's like something that that our pal Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx just said. Stop that bullshit right in its tracks. Neither BLM nor Antifa were at the Capitol building on 1/6. Trump was there, and all those white people were there. We got it on camera.
Right. And, you know, and then you got people like Pat Robertson, you know, on television, along, you know, remember the late Billy Graham, Robin?
Oh, yeah. You mean the man who got his start in the religion industry hustle by taking money from corporate America to shit on unions? That Billy Graham? Yeah, that Billy Graham.
Yeah. And of course, Pat Robinson that I just mentioned. What about him?
Oh, he was the wealthy son of a United States senator to begin with. I mean, he is the very definition of fortunate son. You know that Creedence Clearwater Revival song. Long before the Bushes ever came along, Pat Robertson was the fortunate son.
Right. And Jimmy Swaggart,
didn't he go off to, I think, yeah, he went off to, and of course they were very, very Christian. If I recall the story correctly, he went off to Korea, and because he was a senator's son, he became the liquor supply officer.
Oh, right. Pat Robertson?
Yeah.
The fortunate son?
Marion Pat Robertson. I think it was in the United States Navy. I could be wrong about the branch.
Yeah.
But he was a liquor supply officer.
Right. Don't forget about Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah, but of course, the nonagenarians who send Pat their Social Security checks probably don't know about his history of, you know, liquor supply officer.
Maybe they don't. Maybe you should tell them.
Well, no.
They're going to be. Maybe you should tell them.
But see, it doesn't matter if you tell them because he's in the business of selling tickets out of hell and into heaven. And I didn't come up with that line by myself. That was a great preacher by the name of Carlton Pearson, Bishop Carlton Pearson, who he was a Pentecostal minister, had a great hustle going. And just couldn't stand it anymore. And one day he woke up and said, by the way, there's no hell. And boom, lost his congregation. Yeah. Lost the whole gig.
Yeah. Right. And what about Dickie Boy Cheney?
Oh my God. I caught my filthy morning habit this morning and caught clips of Jonathan Swan of Axios interviewing Dick in a wig.
Liz Cheney?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
and how
yeah,
she,
where did she...
Well, it, you know, it, and that, oh, it just, oh, it just gets, oh, it gets all over me like poison ivy when the, well, you know, what's your vision for the Republican Party? Well, you know, we need conservatism. Every time I hear that, I just I get a twitch in like yeah. my face. And because, oh, define conservatism. Because this woman has spent her entire time in Congress just trying to find a way to fuck working people. And
right.
so and so there she is, and there, and he's asking her a question about the maggots and the Republican Party, and she's, well, you know, I don't think that's the way we talk about it. You know, but, you know, I don't disagree with everything. I mean, I really think, I don't see what's wrong with requiring voter ID to show up and vote at the polls. I mean, we've got it. We've got cases of voter fraud. And she said that out loud, and Jonathan Swan, Johnny on the spot reporter for Axios, didn't say, name them. Because
right.
that's how you deal with the claim of voter fraud. Name them.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. No, of course he didn't say that. Because you can't embarrass her. She agreed to sit down to an interview with you. And you know, for the, right. the multimillionaire for-profit media is fueled by access. So you can't
right.
say, okay, oh, well, okay, dick and a wig, name them.
Yeah. And what did
the problem is, if you ask a Republican to name who's committed voter fraud, well, I mean, we do know there's cases. There's a case here
right.
and there. Like, right. I remember when old Anthrax Coulter committed voter fraud.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's
right.
there's several cases of Republicans voting fraudulently. But whoop, no,
right.
Jonathan Swan can't ask that question.
Right. No, he can't, because he'll lose access. They all will. I was going to ask you, what did Joe Scarborough and his submissive wife, Mika, do or say? Did they do and say anything? Or did they just
No. They were just running the clap. The clip. I don't know why I said clap. They were just running the clip. But I did start my morning with a giggle. Because
yeah.
they started this, they started the show this morning with the story of the state-sponsored terrorist hijacking of the Ryan airplane from Greece to Lithuania. The Belarusians went up and forced down with a fighter plane.
Yeah,
and not once but twice. It's kind of like St. Peter denying Christ. Not once but twice,
yeah.
maybe three times. Because I don't know, maybe it's one of those things you blame on the teleprompter, but I got to think
yeah.
that I got to think that the folks that load the teleprompter are better than that. And bless her
yeah.
heart, half the fun of watching in the morning is to see how many words Mika can screw up in an hour, and not once
yeah.
but twice and possibly three times. Okay, let's understand the capital of Belarus is Minsk. M-I-N-S-K.
Right.
Minsk.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I know about Minsk because if you go way, way back to the history of the Kennedy assassination, at one point in time when he defected to the Soviet Union, they gave Lee Harvey Oswald a job in, I think, a radio factory in Minsk.
Right.
Okay. Minsk
right.
is the punchline of a joke, you know, if you want to talk, you know, somebody's got a really, really horrible, skanky perfume on you. Hey, honey, what is that? Midnight in Minsk? You know,
right.
And it played in the former time and place. Well, not
right.
once, not twice, maybe three times. Mika, know your value, Mika.
Yeah.
Referred to
yeah.
the capital of Belarus with it printed on a teleprompter right in front of her face as... Minx. You know,
minx.
Cute little animals with the furry tails that they make coats out of. Yeah, minx.
Yeah.
M-I-N-K-S.
Yeah,
minx. Not Minsk. M-I-N-S-K. Minx. M-I-N-K-S.
Right. I'm sure she felt embarrassed. I'm sure she felt and looked embarrassed. Correct?
No. No, she was. That's what makes it. That's what makes it comedy. That's what makes it beautiful. She was absolutely
right.
oblivious to the howling error she had just committed.
Right. And if anybody tries to chastise her, her husband will
chastise
them.
I said, I mean, you know me. I sent out a tweet.
Right. What did you say to a robin or to them?
I'm looking for it now. It's kind of pathetic. I'm sure. I shouldn't tweet at Morning Joe. Minx.
Did you?
No, I put minx in quotes. Minx at Morning Mika? No. Minsk. The morning thus begins with hilarity.
Right.
Minx. Minx.
I'm surprised they haven't responded.
You know, they're kind of weasel like. Minx.
Yeah. The things you make coats out of, Minka. I mean, Mika. Mika, you know, the kind of fur coat that you probably have at home in your closet. Mika, right? I'm sure she's got some of them in a closet.
Yeah. I don't know. She's, you know, like, she keeps pet chickens and shit. So, you know, maybe she's cruelty free. I'd like to think so. There's no reason for anybody to have a mink coat. And what they do to them, what they do to the minks, ugh, it's terrible.
Yeah, true. But like you said, Robert, you got these, well, I would say, for lack of a better term, evil people up in power who don't know any better, or should know any better, or do know any better, but they just choose and refuse and ignore the consequences. They refuse to do better. If they knew better, they'd do better.
All I know is for the rest of my natural born days, however long that may be, I will never look at the capital of Belarus the same way again, because I will hear Mika's know your value voice saying, "Minx."
Yeah.
Minx.
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be even funnier had Joe Scarborough himself read it instead of her?
No, he would have said Minsk.
Yeah, he would have, because he knows his stuff.
No, he doesn't know his stuff, but what kind of blew me away is we're spending far too much time on this, Reggie. But you know, her father was Zbigniew Brzezinski, and they came from Poland. You know, Eastern Europe.
They're Polish.
And Eastern Europe, Poland was part of the evil empire of Soviet communism and the satellite states and the Eastern Bloc, and remember the Warsaw Pact, and so was Belarus, you know, and Minsk.
Yeah, but that would make them Polish, right, Robin?
Oh, yeah, they
came from Poland.
But I mean, I would expect her to know that part of the world. Oh well,
yeah, so do I.
So it must have. It must have been a typo on the teleprompter. That's the only explanation, because, well,
right. And you had presidents like such as, well, Tricky, you know, Tricky Dick, old 666 Ronald Reagan, and UW, you know, I'm sure you talked about them, you know, about their mistake. You know, about their fuck up, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You know, first you talked about their fuck up, because look what they've done to this country. Look exactly what they've done to this country. Because of, Tricky Dick, we lost our faith in the government, the U.S. government. Correct, Robin?
Yeah, well...
You know, him and Watergate?
I mean...
Well, you know...
I'm pretty pleased with... I'm pretty pleased with what Biden is at least trying to do.
Yeah. Right. Well, he's trying to clean up the Republican messes. You know, trying to keep the government on the right track.
Yeah.
Get it on track. Get it back on track. Didn't good old Jimmy Swaggart get himself in trouble once? You know
I
what I'm talking about, right, Robin?
Sinned against you. Yeah, he did.
Yes, that Jimmy Swaggart. I'm sure you laughed your butt off when he got in trouble.
Oh, yeah. That was even before David Vitter.
Right.
But, see, Jimmy Swaggart, Jimmy Swaggart set up the model for the David Vitters of the world, so they... I made a mistake, and I'm not perfect. I'm just a good Christian man, and Jesus has forgiven me. And here's my poor wife that I brought up here like a stage prop. And nod your head, honey. Yeah, okay. And there you go.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Right.
Hey, Reggie, this has been a lot of fun. As soon as we are done here, because it was mentioned early in the program, I'm going to this. Oh, dude, Jesus, Dill Harris. I'm going to go to this this clip. With our little nutmeg, and we've set it up.
Oh yeah,
we've set it up pretty good.
I'd say you and I have.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up too before you let me go, Robin, that her and Joy got into it. Because I think Megan accused Joy about not talking about being anti-Semitic or anti-Semitism. And Joy says she's been doing it for 25 fucking ass long years, Megan. You've been on the show. She's been on the show for, Joy's been on the show for 25 years. You've only been on the show for 4 years. So don't tell me what I'm supposed to be talking about, speaking about or saying when it comes to anti-Semitism. When it comes to anti-Semitism, and, you know, talking about Jews and stuff, when it comes about doing that, talking about racism, anti-Semitism, or anything else, homophobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, or any other types of phobias or isms, I've been doing this show for 25 long fucking ass years, and you've been on this show for 4 years, so don't come at me or preach to me about what I'm supposed to be saying, speaking, or talking about her too. You know, you do your thing over there, and I'll do my thing over here. You know, stay in your lane, and I'll stay in mine. That's what she was saying to Megan, to Nutmeg, as you call her, Robin. Boy, they got into it. And, of course, Whoopi had to go to commercial, and I guess she's fucking sick and tired of Megan's childish, immature tantrums and outbursts.
Yeah, don't ruin it for folks. This is too much fun. But by the way, right. there was some good news over the weekend.
What was the good news?
CNN finally parted ways with Rick Brofromix Sanctum Santorum.
What took him so long?
God, that was my question.
What took him so long? What?
I'm just grateful that they finally did, but, you know, we won't have Rick Santorum to kick around on CNN anymore.
Right, but do you think they're replacing with somebody else who's equal as bad, if not even worse than he is? God, I hope not.
Oh, that's always the risk. That's always the risk.
What? Are they replacing it with somebody even far much worse than he
was?
Maybe
they'll pick up Kaylee McEnany. She seemed to be auditioning for the job.
Right. Or Kellyanne Conway.
And what's her name? White Power Barbie?
Who?
The one who isn't Kaylee McEnany, the little white girl whose granddaddy was an illegal immigrant.
Oh, I don't know. I would say Kellyanne Conway, but I could be wrong.
No. She's from she's much younger and. Oh, come on. Why? Tommy Lauren. That's who. Yeah.
That's her. I figured it would be her. If it's not, you think they'll pick her or?
Go through the list of. Hey, you know who would be good? You know who I bet CNN would love to have?
Who? Who?
Jefferson who? Davis, Beauregard Sessions, the Tood.
Him?
You could talk real gooey and slow whenever they wanted somebody to trash Joe Biden. That Yankee.
Him? They pick him? Why would they pick or want him, Robin?
Tell me it's impossible.
It's impossible. It is impossible. Or it should be impossible. You know, it should be impossible.
See, it's that should be part that bites you in the ass.
What? Right. Right. It should be, but it's not.
Wingnut welfare knows no bounds.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see. There's retiring Republican senators. I think Roy Blunt is retiring from the Senate from Missouri this year, so he'll be needing a job.
Right. Oh, probably so. Anybody else, Robin? I would say Sarah. You know, Huckabee Sandbag. But
no, she's good. No, she's working on something.
Who else do you think would be considered for the job? Right for the job.
No, it could be somebody from the Nitwit Nero administration.
Oh, good grief!
I mean, come on, Reggie, don't act surprised. You know.
Yeah, I know. What? I know. Yeah, you're right. What, Mike Pencil Neck Geek or
Ooh, Roger he needs Stone? A job.
What?
Mike Pencilneck Geek.
Mike Pencilneck. Yeah.
Right. I mean, his presidential ambitions are pretty much down the toilet.
That's true. That's true. What about this idiot Roger Stone? Or that moron Steve Bannon?
Bannon's got a gig, but oh man, that's a possibility.
What?
Mike Pence. No, Mike Pence. Mike Pence. He's absolutely unemployable.
True.
So that makes him a perfect pick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's desperate for ratings.
And he's got helmet hair, just like Rick Santorum.
Right.
Only his is white.
Right. Well, you know, right. Anybody else, Robin? Or do you think that's it?
No,
No,
you have to.
Go ahead, Rob.
You have to be prepared to be surprised.
True. So they'll pick anybody these days.
Well, it's a matter of who's got the better wingnut welfare agent.
Right. Even without the background checks that these people have to go through in order to get jobs like this, or has that been long since outdated?
Oh, you don't need a background check to be a right-wing opinion creator for CNN? No. Oh, hell
right.
No.
Right. I know Wolfie would be happy. You know who I'm talking about, right, Robin? I know Wolfie would be happy.
Oh, you mean Wolf Blitzer?
Yeah, Wolf Blitz. Yes, him. Is he robotic or what? Does he sound robotic or what?
Well, I don't think he sounds robotic. I think he's a robot. I don't, you know.
Well, why do you say that, Rob? He doesn't have his own opinion or his own.
No, I think they just take him off the set and plug him up until the little light blinks red until he's recharged and is green again.
Right. That's true.
Yes. All right. Well, let me get to this clip, Reggie. It's good talking to you, my friend.
Okay.
You take care. Right. We'll talk soon. You hear?
Too.
All right. Have yourself a great afternoon.
Yeah, you keep cool or warm. You keep cool down there.
We're trying. It's a pleasant 73 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studio. So yeah, it's been nice today.
Right.
Maybe finally it's spring.
It has been. Right. Well, it'll be summer next month. You know that, Robin.
Oh, I know.
Coming next month, that means it'll be real hot and humid.
Dad, you're absolutely right. Oh, it's all right. No. We've already gotten to the humid part. It's 79 degrees outside right now and cloudy and sticky.
Yeah. Same here, I think. Same here.
All right. Here. You take care there in Decatur, Reggie. We'll talk soon.
You do too, Bob. I mean, Robin, but why can't they get these journalists? Why can't they get any of these journalists who are like human, who have personality, character?
Well, because they're not right wing mouthpieces.
Right.
They don't want journalists. They want somebody who will defend the indefensible, like Rick Santorum did. Reggie, you take care of yourself. We'll talk later.
Like a robotic puppet.
Well, okay. And now we're back to Pence. Right. Yeah. Talk to you later.
Right. All right, Bob.
See
Don't forget to play that clip.
Oh, no, right. I'm going right to it. Don't you worry. All right. See you now.
All right. Bye.
And that's our pal, Reggie Indicator. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to our pal, our dear friend, Jude. We have knocked it down to, knocked it down to 110. We got $110 to go. We got 35 minutes to get there to meet Charlene's challenge. $110, 35 minutes. And, you know, all I can say is please don't leave these matching challenges on the table. They mean the world. And they mean the continuing existence of this program. And Jude tells us, by the way, today and tomorrow are virtual days of action in remembrance of George Floyd, murdered by the Minneapolis police 1 year ago. You can speak up on social media, support the George Floyd Memorial Foundation with a donation, register to vote, and more. There's a toolkit. This came from Black Lives Matter. Jude says, tomorrow the boots will be on the ground in my city in focused intention for peace in memory of George Floyd. Bless you, Jude. Bless you. And so after talking about our little nutmeg and with good Megan, our Megan, having said, please tell me it's in the stack this evening. Oh, yes, it is. And understand, I do. I know you do as well. These things are, you know, they're as much entertainment as they are public affairs. And people tune in to watch somebody, anybody, slap our little nutmeg down. Because you know it's going to happen. Because she's an idiot. And she is the poster child for white privilege in America. And of course, you know, she's got to disagree on this clip, because if she didn't disagree, then they'd take away her I'm John McCain's daughter card. Because that's what it all comes down to. The sad thing is, John McCain could be an asshole, and John McCain was, from time to time, an asshole. But every once in a while, John McCain would do the right thing and appear to be considerably more intelligent than the daughter that apparently he didn't spend enough time teaching.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's time in office has been marked by harassing other House members and being removed from committees for outrageous comments and embracing conspiracy theories. Well, last week she stayed on brand by comparing Speaker Pelosi's mask mandates to Nazis sending Holocaust victims to the gas chamber, and she's not sorry about it either. Take a look.
I said nothing wrong, and I think any rational Jewish person didn't like what happened in Nazi Germany, and any rational Jewish person doesn't like what's happening with overbearing mask mandates and overbearing vaccine policies.
Yeah, hold on. That's that rational Jewish people. The only Jewish community that I know of that has resisted masking and has been an active threat to community health is that ultra-Orthodox, not known for their rationality community, in the greater New York City area, who helped spread the disease and get it out of control in generally Brooklyn and other parts of New York City. And there's nothing anti-Semitic in saying that. They had massive weddings, massive funerals that had to be broken up by the cops because they would not follow the law. But this isn't about that. What I think is more telling, and I think it would have been actually beneficial if somebody there at The View had pointed out, for Whoopi's benefit, as I said talking to Reggie, she didn't come up with this by herself. Because she's a fool, Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cucumber. She's a fool. And she's not, and she has no independent creativity. She mills this stuff, she gins this stuff as nothing more, and it's the most cynical form of politics. She gins it as fundraising fodder. And that's all it is fundraising fodder. And it would have been beneficial if Whoopi could have pointed out that she was actually bogarting off of Deanna Lorraine. And you know what? I'll bet Deanna Lorraine is pissed I mean, I was having a little fun clowning around about Newsweek saying, oh, Jim Acosta calls Trump Mussolini of Mar-a-Lago. You know, the imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I guess. But when it all has to do with right-wing Republican fundraising, goddamn, it's war. I mean, we put this program out for free, and you guys kindly keep it on the air. And I'm so grateful for that. And so, you know, yesterday when I tweeted at Newsmax, I said, hey, you know, if you need some more monikers that are really, really good, you know, here's Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula, and Fulius Caesar, Fulius Geezer, and Geezer Disgustus. Knock yourself out. It'll be good. You know, it'll be good for all of us. It's yours for free. But this shit is serious. Over on the right wing side, when there are millions of dollars in donations from the Emrys and the Marvelines of the world, sitting there in their matching Barca loungers, grunting and hooting at the TV from their trailer there in the Ballerina Swan Lake trailer court and country club, just outside Odessa, Missouri. I will forever be grateful to Carol Baker for introducing us to the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club. But it's business. It's big business. And rational, says Jeremy in Vermont, what the actual flying fuck she just about literally said, if you're not a rational Jew and dislike the mask and COVID push, you deserve to be gassed or shot or any number of hideous things the Nazis did to anything or anyone who wasn't, Aryan enough for them. Yeah, kinda. But let's go on and touch on this.
This is from the woman whose party stands with Israel. So where are all her colleagues telling her that she's minimizing the horror of 6 million Jews being mass murdered by comparing it to wearing a piece of cloth over your face?
Meanwhile, our little nutmeg is over there on camera 4 going, ooh, pick me, pick me. Maybe camera 5.
Bih, what the hell? I mean, Joy, is this finally going to turn the tide on green? Are her people going to finally stand up and say, shut up and sit down? This is ridiculous.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, Republicans didn't do anything when she called Jewish lasers the cause of wildfires in California. And when she liked, as they say, a Facebook post that said that they should put bullets in Nancy Pelosi's head, 94 of the Republicans in the House voted not to do anything about her. And I must point out that when Ilhan Omar tweeted it was all about Benjamins, which I hated that, and I hate any kind of anti-Semitism from any party, at least in that situation.
Ooh, both-siderism. I do love me some both-siderism.
Situation, Pelosi and the entire Democratic leadership condemned it. Kevin McCarthy is just sitting on his hands right now, you know. I mean, this is so that she can raise money for herself on the backs of Jews in this country. And as you say, they love Israel, but they don't like Jews, apparently. I don't even understand it. This woman is delusional and unhinged. She makes Michelle Bachmann look like Eleanor Roosevelt. Every time
That's
she
quality.
Opens her mouth, I just want to scream.
Right. Sarah, when you heard this, what was your thought?
One, not surprised, but a lot of thoughts came into mind. This was reductive, insulting, insensitive. Awful. It seems like the more time that passes from when the Holocaust occurred, the more casually people use this to bat people over the head in arguments, which I find just so inappropriate. This was 6 million Jews were killed. In addition to other people that were perceived as inferior, you had Slavic people, Germans with disabilities, homosexuals. This was meant to wipe
trans
out
people.
There were medical experiments that were done that, you know, if you've read anywhere, you see the disturbing, inhumane treatment and then murder of people.
I'm kind of liking her, this Sarah Haynes. She's making a lot of good points. But by the way, just as an aside, if you're trans and you're in Tennessee, just go ahead and strap on the pink triangle. No, really. If you're trans and you're in Tennessee, go ahead and strap on the pink triangle, because if we're going to make a Nazi comparison, if we're going to make a Nazi Germany comparison, apparently sometime after July 1st, a sign, this sign or something like it, and I've mentioned it previously, but you can't just blow past this. But after July the 1st, any business in Tennessee that lets trans people go potty in their public accommodations has to post a sign at their door or in their window. It has to be prominently displayed by order of the House and the Senate and the governor of the state of Tennessee in the United States of America. Warning. Note, warning. This business serves transgender customers. And there's a trans symbol. It's the circle with the plus sign on the bottom, the sign for female, and it's also got the arrow up and to the right for male, and then it's got the arrow with a bar through it up and to the left for non-binary. Warning! This business serves transgender customers. This facility has a policy of allowing the use of restrooms by either biological sex, regardless of the designation on the restroom, in compliance with Tennessee HB 1182. I suspect this sign was crafted as a sort of a mock-up for what's coming. I don't know this to be an added. I don't think it's the real thing. But at this point in time, if you're trans in Tennessee, just go ahead and put on the pink triangle and have done. And see, because this is like Nazism. Requiring people to wear a mask during a fucking pandemic is not like Nazism. I mean, this could be part of a skit on a children's program. You know, one of these things is just like the other. They all belong. Because these signs appeared, or signs like this appeared, in Germany in the 30s and into the 40s. This is a way of telling, well, you know, if you want to beat the shit out of somebody in a bathroom, this might be your place. Now, the proper and appropriate response of any decent business is to A, sue, because this is compulsory speech. Not to get all law school-y or anything, but when the state tells you you have to say something, they need to be able to back it up with science. If you have to make a public statement as a function of law passing, there better be a compelling state reason behind you having to say it. And thinking trans people are icky is not a compelling state reason. I mean, think about the mandatory signage you've seen. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Is that mandatory signage? Maybe. I don't know. It's not. I don't know if it's by order of any. Maybe it's just public health. There is nothing relating to public health in that sign. But that's a hell of a lot more like Nazi Germany than asking someone not to spread a deadly infectious disease to people who might get it and die. So I hope this thing will be immediately enjoined in court. But in 2021, that's cold comfort. It would seem that this thing flies in the face of a lot of First Amendment law. But in the 2021 United States of America, at least this universe, where you've got a woman on the court who is so subservient
and so and such a member of a weird Christian cult that she's supposed to ask her husband for his permission for her to have a fucking opinion. And you got another guy on the court who is credibly accused of trying to fuck a little teenage girl when she was drunk. And you got another guy on the court who argued that black guys who drive trucks should be willing to freeze to death in the dead of winter instead of leaving their truck and going for help when it breaks down. When you got another guy on the court who says that it's okay for cops to strip search and cavity search a little 9-year-old girl. Let's see, that's Amy Covid Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, Ann's boy Neil, Sammy Bad Breath Alito. Oh, wait, and when you got a guy, when you got a guy who was credibly accused of sexually harassing a subordinate, talking about pubes on Coke cans and Long Dong Silver and John Holmes. Well, I wouldn't expect that Stari DeCiccis, relative to compulsory speech, would be as open and shut and slam dunk of a case as we might hope it would be. So like I said, if you're trans in Tennessee, just go ahead and strap on the pink triangle. Because they'd like you to wear one anyway. But if corporate America would respond by, or not corporate America, but a decent companies, businesses, would respond by saying, no, we're suing, that's one. The other is, just put up a sign with an outline of the state of Tennessee and the colors of the rainbow across it, like we've got here in West Virginia, especially in Fayetteville, that just says, all are welcome. And then you put signage on your restrooms that show male and female alike, and underneath it, you write, please just wash your hands. It's all over the place here. I live in West Virginia. Maybe the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans haven't gotten around to a sign bill, but you can bet your ass this thing's going to spread like wildfire because this is hot. If it should happen that I wind up having to visit Tennessee, I don't expect to, but if I should happen to pass through Tennessee on the way to, say, I don't know, Talabama, then I will take with me a couple of stick-on pink triangles and I will fucking wear them. As if having linebacker broad shoulders, no butt, no waist, and being 6'2" wasn't enough of a clue. Thank God when I go through Tennessee, I run north to south. I can probably take one last good pee in Kentucky and try to hold it till Alabama, and you know, roll the dice in both of those places that I don't get fucking killed. So fuck that pink triangle. Instead, I think I'll just not stop in Tennessee and make sure they don't get a goddamn dime of my money. Be real nice if the Human Rights Campaign would start a boycott Tennessee movement. I mean, this is going to have to go up in the stadium where the Titans play football. It's going to have to go up in the minor league ballparks in Nashville and Knoxville and Memphis. I don't know, Clarksville. These signs are going to have to go up at one of the largest college football stadiums in the country, Neyland Stadium, on the banks of the Tennessee River in Knoxville. The sign's going to have to go up at that little gas station that has a crystal in it that I like to stop at when I'm taking the East Tennessee route home-ish to Alabama. I like to stop there because it's the first chance to get a... God, I love crystals. God help me, it's a problem. This is evil. And it's evil because Republicans are evil. Make no mistake. I don't like to throw words like evil around, but you do evil shit, I'm going to say that you're an evil person. There's nothing on this signage about a big, brawny, hairy-chested, bearded, heterosexual male could go barging into a women's restroom and get all rapey. There's nothing on that sign about that, but that's a hell of a lot more likely to happen than some poor little trans girl trying to take a pee, becoming sexually enfrenzied in a ladies' room there in Bucksnort, Tennessee. Anyway, back to our little nutmeg.
By comparing something like this, you're minimizing the personal stories. There are still people alive that have ties as Holocaust survivors. And these weren't just anecdotal moments that you're reading that you have distance from. These are family members. These are lost generations of lives. I think it doesn't surprise me, as Joy mentioned, that this is a woman that did describe like a scientific event as space lasers. So coming from her, it's not shocking. It doesn't make it less offensive. I think it also reminds us of two very important things, the importance of education. I know she knows better, but to continue to educate people on the atrocities of our history, because otherwise they come back again, and that includes slavery in this country, and giving it its ample time when we teach.
Wait a minute. Oh, she said, and that includes slavery. This is a white lady. That's it. I'm going to study up, but she's good. And they cut to a split screen view with Whoopi, and Whoopi's like, wait a minute, what?
Young yeah. people, and also make sure we hold people accountable for rewriting history. Like,
and she's also taking down the whole anti-1619 the critical race theory bruga too.
On January 6th, because when you become Holocaust right. deniers and you shop in this stuff, it's dangerous.
Yeah, Sonny, this isn't the first time Greens made anti-Semitic
Sonny
comments.
Hostin.
Are you surprised by this, or are you surprised by the response to it?
I'm sort of surprised at the lack of response to Marjorie Taylor Greene by the Republican leadership, because not only has she made anti-Semitic comments before, we've all talked about the Jewish laser beam comments. I mean, she's also just routinely targeted marginalized communities and the representatives of those marginalized communities. Remember, even before she was a member of Congress in 2018, when you had Congresswoman Tlaib and Omar elected to Congress, which they were the first two Muslims represented in Congress. I mean, that was a monumental moment. And she said at that time, I believe, that there was an Islamic invasion of our government. Once she became a congresswoman, she harassed Representative Newman by putting up a hate sign in front of her office targeting Representative Newman's trans daughter. She's stalked and been so aggressive to Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. She targeted Congresswoman Cori Bush so much so that this congresswoman felt unsafe and had to move her office. And then even her aides act inappropriately in an aggressive manner, basically stalking and attacking Congresswoman Swalwell for wearing a mask. And right. that went just unreported. And so
it's almost like there's consensus
really up to,
here.
I think Republican leadership.
Nah.
Like Kevin McCarthy, because at this point, Marjorie Taylor
right.
Greene is the face of the Republican Party. And because
yes.
it's a big tent party, she is welcome. And Liz Cheney
right.
is not.
Right. So maybe.
And Liz Cheney ain't that much different. Now, quit it.
What are your thoughts on this? Are you trying to figure out, like I think I am, why there is no one saying, hey, why her own party isn't dragging her in, saying, listen, you can't do this?
Well, I mean, I can't stand Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think she's a crazy person. I've said that over and over again. But she has been stripped of her committees. She has absolutely no legislative power in Congress whatsoever, which juxtaposed when Ilhan Omar said that Jewish people had hypnotized the world and it was.
See, I knew the both-siderism would come back and bite us in the ass. Ilhan Omar, brooga, brooga, brooga. She has been stripped of committee. She has no legislative power in the Congress. Oh, my little nutmeg. It's such a pity you never had civics. She is a member
of the House of Representatives, Marjorie Traitor Green, Gangrene Cucumber. And she can introduce 500 bills a goddamn day if she wants to. And you know what? If one of them turns out to be something Republicans want to do, they can try to make something happen with them. Fortunately, they're not in the majority. But if she stays in Congress, in the next Congress, and I have no reason to doubt that she will, she'll be back on committees. She'll have plenty of power. For a little nutmeg here to say that she has no legislative power, that's just stupidity. That's ignorance. That's just our little nutmeg proving what she does not know about the workings of the federal government, even though she's John fucking McCain's daughter. Because Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cucumber has plenty of power. Oh, but we were at Ilhan Omar.
It's all about the Benjamins. She's still on the Foreign Relations Committee, and she's able to dictate our foreign policy.
Okay, maybe it's me who doesn't know anything about how the government works. I had no idea that a lone member of the House of Representatives from Minnesota could dictate the foreign policy of the United States, especially when foreign policy is expressly and exclusively the province of the President of the United States, with advice and consent of the Senate on in matters of treaties.
In the United States of America. So what do you expect Republicans to do? I think that's taking a lot more action against a crazy person than I would say the Democrats are doing on the left. I'm confused what has risen this to a hot topic this week, because last week, as I brought up on Friday, there's a huge rise in anti-Semitic attacks.
Okay, and this was the part I was waiting for. Listen to what she cites. I predicted this, and here we are. You remember the story about the really sketchy alleged pro-Palestinian attack on Jewish people eating sushi on La Cienega in L.A.? You remember that? Now, there's... hold on. There's no doubt whatsoever that these people hollered, "Who's a Jew here?" And they started beating on people. There's no doubt. It's clearly anti-Semitic. It's awful. And it's also, the behavior overall is exactly in line with what the neo-Nazi thugs in Charlottesville did in August of 2017 when they went on to kill Heather Heyer. "Jews will not replace us!" Remember that? Is any of that nuance going to come into our little nutmeg's analysis? Oh, please. Is she going to talk about the fact that these guys were tubby white boys dressed exactly like the Proud Boys dress when they go for a brawl? Or the Free Percenters or the Oath Keepers or the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters staff? Executive staff, there. Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. Bitches. No.
Against Jewish people globally and in our own country. In Los Angeles, a group of pro-Palestine anti-Semites showed up to a sushi restaurant.
Pro-Palestine! Pro-Palestine! They had a they had a Palestinian flag. If you are past masters at setting up, literally, false flag operations, of course you'd carry a Palestinian flag. I'm still waiting for some proof. I'm waiting for an arrest that says it was Ahmed Hassan who did this. I need some rational connection to the Palestinian community. But Megan doesn't, because Megan doesn't give a fuck about evidence.
and said who was Jewish here, and then began attacking people at that restaurant. In New York City, as I mentioned on Friday, a Jewish man wearing a kippah was beaten up in Times Square. A pipe bomb was set off in the Jewish Diamond District. In Italy, hundreds of neo-Nazis were marching and giving the Hitler salute. In Toronto, a pro-Palestinian demonstrator lynched an elderly Jewish man and a sexually assaulted a Jewish woman. In London, pro-Palestinian demonstrators went down the street and screamed, "Death to Jews, blank their mothers, rape their daughters." This was all happening last week, and I would love if the energy that is being put on one crazy woman in Congress, and by the way, if she is the face of the Republicans, then the squad is the face of the Democrats. I would love Democrats to put that same type of energy onto what's happening on the left, because quite frankly, this is how people get red-pilled. They're
Little Nutmeg's offended because Whoopi didn't say that she's the face of the Republican Party. Aw, goddamn. And that, she's John McCain's daughter.
Red-pilled when they see the blatant bias in the media. It's because the media doesn't want the squad to look bad. They just want Marjorie Taylor to look bad. Anti-Semitism is a huge problem everywhere in this country.
Yeah, and it got so bad after that that, our little Nutmeg went on to have a further sad. "Why are you cutting me off?" she said. When they came back from commercial, because Whoopi went to commercial, because Megan was embarrassing herself. She just doesn't have enough self-awareness to know that.
Megan, you want to finish what you were saying?
Yes, all I was trying to finish saying is that when anti-Semitism shows itself on the right, it is easy to spot with crazy people and tiki torches. And when it manifests on the left, it is a lot more insidious and a lot more sinister and a lot more difficult to define.
Okay. Let me point out that when Ilhan Omar made her equally ridiculous comments, Nancy Pelosi snatched her up and said, "Let me sit down and let's talk about this because you're incorrect."
She
and
still has
I
power.
Am hoping that, let me
she's
just
on the Foreign
finish.
Affairs
well, she still
committee,
has power.
And Marjorie Taylor Greene has
yes.
been stripped of committee. She has no power in Congress anymore. It matters who can make
okay.
legislation. And if you're for BDS and you're anti-Israel in the way that she is, it has the real power to make legislative change, as we have seen last week with the squad.
Okay.
So the idea that Marjorie Taylor Greene is more influential than AOC is just inaccurate, and it's just not true.
I don't know what you're talking. Now I don't know what you're talking about. I understand you're upset, and I get that. But because we only have 4 minutes to talk about this, I will say again that Ilhan Omar was taken underhand, and they shook her and woke her up and said, "You can't do this." So I don't know whether it is one side or the other, but whether this woman has power or not, she shouldn't be in that seat. Sonny, what were you going to say?
Well, you know, I think that when you talk about Israel and Palestine, you really need to be an expert in it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we haven't had a more robust discussion on this show about the conflict going on over in the Middle East, because none of us are Middle East policy experts. And perhaps that's something that we should do. Perhaps we should have experts come on and, you know, educate us and our viewers on it.
Well, wait, no, hold on, Sonny. That's John McCain's daughter over there. She's an expert on everything. Just ask her. She'll tell you. Oy. My aching back. Well, hey, I got... That's that. And I'm sorry. I just... I think we do it better. I do. And I really, really wish someone could reach out to Whoopi and just let her know that Marjorie didn't come up with that by herself. That, like everything else, she's not just a horrible anti-Semite and a freak and a loon. She's a thief. She steals other people's horrible ideas. Let's run over. Hey, y'all, we are right at the end of the program.
Charlene kindly put $150 up. And it's so critically important that we meet it. You get $110 to meet it. So if anybody else would like to jump in and help, that's wonderful. If you never have before, this would be a great time. Thank you. Hey, Scott. Oh, Scott gone. You gotta tell somebody. Well, I don't know what happened. But nonetheless, Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, Megan, if she wasn't John McCain's daughter, her main claim to fame would undoubtedly be from appearing in a Karen video on the internet. I hate that woman so much, it's probably unhealthy. Oh, hate's never healthy, but I understand. She's odious. She's odious. And she's not odious because she espouses opinions that I disagree with. She's odious because she does it so horribly. And she does it from a position of such petulant privilege. So that. Wow. What a Friday. What Friday? Jesus. See? Last week was a week. What a Moorhen Monday. Plenty of them. And Titanic Tuesday will be here before we know it. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all your support, our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Charlene, I'll let you know if anybody jumps in on the overnight crowd. That would be that'll be wonderful, and I'll let you know. Thank you again. Thank you to all of our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Remember, this would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. We've been working on it for almost 10 years now. That's what happens when you want something in Congress. You've got to be able to work on it for years, and we have. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. By all means, if you haven't already gotten your vaccine, get your vaccine as soon as you can. And maybe if you're in New York or a few other states, hell, you might win $1 million. You never know. Wouldn't that be fun? Go ahead, wear your mask if you feel the need to. Like I said last week, I'm going to keep wearing mine if I'm around people that I don't know or absolutely know are vaccinated. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, keep your hand sanitizer handy. Maintain your social distance as you deem necessary. If you're around people who aren't vaccinated, social distancing is still a fine, fine idea. And for God's sakes. Oh, and by the way, thank you, Will, in Chicago. Thank you so very much. We are at 110. We are now down to $85 in meeting Charlene's Rogues Island Challenge. Thank you, Will. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for the friend that you are. But for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you hollering that wearing a mask is just like being put on a cattle car to Auschwitz, avoid that person like the plague. Because she is. Later, y'all.